720 WGN. Happy Thursday afternoon, everyone. 3:09 in the afternoon. Broadcasting 18 floors up above Wacker Drive. John Hansen in for RoCon. Just today, Ro will be back tomorrow afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us here. You can catch me weekday mornings on the Jam, CW26, and of course here at WGN, filling in at all sorts of time of the day and also at home Blackhawks games. In fact, tonight I'll be running over there afterwards. Pride night over at the United Center, too. Pretty cool stuff. But I'm going to be with you here until about 6:30 or so, and Kevin Powell will finish things off. But we got a packed show today. Mentioned Block Club Chicago, Seamus Toomey. Going to be joining in a little bit to talk about some of the great stories happening in the neighborhood. Ben Bradley coming up, and we'll, of course, got to talk a little bit about coronavirus. And while we'll tackle the serious side, I'm also going to talk about some lighter stories coming out of coronavirus, including, I guess this is a good teaser, coronavirus porn is a thing. We're going to tell you all about that, whether you like it or not, coming up in just a little bit. Want to say good afternoon. Kevin Powell, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, great. I'm impressed. So you got the Jam in the morning, then you're filling in for O'Con, and then you're amping up the crowd at the United Center as they go for four straight at the UC.
It's my kid dream all living out in one day. I wish you could space it out a little bit, but here we are, a triple threat today. And Lauren Lapka in traffic. Good afternoon, Lauren. How you doing?
Oh, great as always.
Exactly. And Kim Gordon, it's good to chat with you. We never get to talk
you
on
too.
Air together
great
too
to
much.
See you.
Yeah, too, you guys too. I wanted to open things up before we get to Ben Bradley. I saw this really fascinating thread on Reddit, and it poses the question, let's say you wake up and the year is 2040, so 20 years in the future. I want to get the one thing, the first thing that you would Google, the thing that you'd want to know about immediately when you woke up. I don't know whether you're waking up from, I don't know, a coma, some sort of time travel, the worst hangover you could imagine. What you're up in 2040, what are you Googling?
Do we already know what year it is?
Yeah, that's a great question. Okay, yeah, let's pretend that you know it's 2040 somehow, although you'd probably have to Google that too.
So we were theoretically in a coma situation.
Yeah, let's
say, missed the last 20 years.
Yeah, you're done. You haven't woken up since this day.
I'd probably Google, who is the president? Also, did I miss a Bears Super Bowl victory? Because I'd be very mad if I missed the Bears Super Bowl victory while I was in a coma, John.
Kevin, those were the one and two I had as well. I was like, you got to know who the president is. That's the number one question. But then I'm glad as a sports guy, you picked up the garbage there with the Super Bowl and the Bears. I'm hoping the next 20 years provides one.
Yes, I'm very much hoping too, John. It's the one sports team in Chicago I haven't seen win it.
But I'd rather see Chicago Bears, great team, fall just short to give you hope that you're awake for the next one and for 2041. Lauren, what are you thinking?
I actually thought president too, but then I also was kind of cheating because I would just Google top headlines of the day to see what's going on.
With no context.
What would Google be? It's probably like implanted in people's brains at that point in 20 years.
Where's a computer? What's a computer?
What's a computer?
Yeah, that's
just
crazy.
Just enter your brain.
Kim Gordon, you're a news person. What do you want to know?
Well, I'm actually on the same sports line, except I was wondering if the Packers won another Super Bowl. But
yeah.
I was also wondering, when you said that, I was wondering if I would have a chip implanted in my hand.
Okay. Oh, like just to track you?
Well, or to, you know, charge things or,
okay. Yeah. So you'd want to look in your hand, see if
right.
it was glowing and what function that would
if
serve.
If I could just check out with my wrist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At Target, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be great. 312-91-7200. What's the first thing you'd Google if you woke up in 20 years? A text from the 847 says, the health of the planet. That'd be pretty good. Before, I guess you could probably open up the blinds and take a good look if Lake Michigan had crept up to your backyard, or I guess if you saw smog out there. I don't know. It's just an interesting question. The first thing you'd want to know after waking up from a long break. 312-91-7200. We'll read some of these throughout the entire program. Also going to be talking about the markets. It's one of those don't check your 401k days, but lately you just have to wait another day, and then it's better news. So we're going to be talking with Caleb Silver, the editor-in-chief of Investopedia, talking about the markets and a whole bunch of other things coming up on the program, including, as I mentioned, today is the anniversary of John Belushi's death, and we're going to actually chat with the person who knew John Belushi pretty well and actually found him, unfortunately, and the lesson that he learned from that. But first, let's get a check of the weather. Kim Gordon.
Tonight, a dirty little secret in the rideshare industry. How often are bed bugs lurking? Working in the back seat, WGN TV investigates tonight at 9.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin
Powell.
That
has me terrified, John.
Yeah.
I've seen Lourdes teasing that story all day on Twitter.
Well, that means you got to watch it, Kevin Powell. You got to know. 312-91-7200. John Hansen in for RoCon here just for today. He'll be back tomorrow. just posed off the question. We're going to have Ben Bradley on in a moment. What is the one thing you'd Google if you woke up in the year 2040? Someone wants to know, I want to know if I Love Lucy is still being shown in reruns. Yeah, I'd probably bet on that. I'm sure they will be. A little bit more, I don't want to say morbid, but a curiosity at that. 224 says I'd Google the obituaries for my family. I guess that's a little pessimistic. Maybe they're still going. I don't know. 20 years from now, we'll have new advances in technology. 608, if I woke up 20 years from Google, I want to see if my global entry is ready. I've been waiting for quite a while. Yeah, that's a good one. 210 says, do cars fly? And there were actually a few of those. Joan was on the line earlier. She wanted to know what would be the greatest tech achievement over the last 20 years. Boy, if you went back 20 years, I bet we couldn't have predicted a lot of the things that we got in the last 20. I'd be curious about that, too. A lot of, did we find aliens? Do they really exist out there? The ET solution. Have we discovered other planets? A lot of global warming ones, too. 630 just wants to know about my family. Yeah, that'd probably be one of them. But I think the president's just naturally that first one that we'd be curious about. Of course, I'd want to know if the United States still existed as it did 20 years before, the year now. But let's go to Ben Bradley. Ben, I'm kind of curious over in Channel 9. I know we'll get to these stories in a second. But if you woke up in 2040, you missed the last 20 years, what's the first thing you're Googling?
Does TV news still exist? Do I have a job?
Do I need to show up today to Bradley Place, basically?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. I think so, especially with all the hard work you guys are doing over at Channel 9.
In some form or fashion, journalism will always exist.
Yeah, exactly. The storytelling will change just a little bit. Hey, I want to jump in. This I saw it on Instagram. I followed a former Illinois Congressman Aaron Schock on Instagram.
Oh, yes.
Not just because he has an 8-pack, but he is an interesting follow because he travels the globe. And obviously, he was disgraced for a while under investigation. I think the charges, right, were eventually dropped completely, or they didn't go to trial on
it. It was a deal where they dropped the charges and then his campaign fund had to plead to a misdemeanor. But yeah, for all practical purposes, Aaron Schock escaped federal prosecution. Mm-hmm. But he did give up his seat in Congress during the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And this all to refresh people's memories. This is Aaron Schock was a congressman from Peoria. Young guy, fit, very photogenic. He represented kind of a new wave of young, up and coming Republican congressmen, and you know he had no problem being photographed with his shirt off on the mm-hmm. cover of like Men's Health or something like that.
Wasn't he with the former speaker too, Paul Ryan? They were flexing and doing the bicep curls.
Yes, mm-hmm. And then he got into trouble after he redid his congressional office in D.C. And it kind of looked like Downton Abbey.
Yes.
It was like the red walls and the ornate fixtures and whatnot. His decorator at the time was the one who referred to it as Downton Abbey.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward a couple of years, and Schock has, while he's dropped off the political landscape, there have still been some online gossip sites that have followed him around, mm-hmm. questioned his sexuality.
Oh, he's always a single guy in D.C. There was always some kind of questions, but you're right, more on blog sites, stuff like that.
Yeah, and so today he posted, not only to his Instagram, but also to his website, a long message that started with, "I am gay." And, you know, that in and of itself is not a shock to most people, but I think why the congressman kept it quiet and refused to acknowledge it for so long is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about growing up in a very religious family. At one point, a local church that his family belonged to, thought watching television was a sin.
Wow.
And he talked about finally, when his parents saw one of those website articles about him at Coachella with another man, they told him not to come home for Easter.
Yeah, recently. This was not back
then. Yeah, this is just in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was greeted by his family with sadness, disappointment, and, quote, unsympathetic citations to Scripture. He said his mom has since come around a bit, saying if there's somebody special in your life, I would like to meet them. But he says he still has relatives who periodically send him emails offering conversion therapy.
Mm.
Now, on the other side of this, you have people who point out that Schock and other Republicans were, firmly opposed to gay marriage.
Right.
Schock addressed that a bit, saying, well, at the time, our party's presidential nominee, John McCain, was also opposed to it. He pointed out that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama at one point were opposed to same-sex marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, his article is an interesting read.
It is. It's very heartfelt. I mean, and it's not short. He really kind of dives into the whole thing.
But at the same time, you know, you do wish we lived in a society where people felt free to be themselves. And he clearly says, at one point, he said, perhaps correctly, perhaps not, I assume that revealing myself as Central Illinois' gay congressman would not go over well.
Yeah, and I wonder if he was out or if he even was in the closet but supported pro-LGBT measures. He's probably not sitting in Congress, not from that district. And so right. He obviously had an internal struggle.
It was a political calculation. He said he put his ambition over the truth. But you know, there are a lot of people who – it is interesting. You know, we've had a number of both state and federal legislators over the years who politically were opposed to issues that the LGBTQ community was strongly pushing for, mm-hmm. only for them to eventually come out and say – well, you know what? I'm gay, and I want to be, you know, honest and out. And there are large parts of the LGBTQ community that say, no, wait a minute. Where were you when you had a position to actually influence the debate?
Yeah. As a gay man, I was always against people trying to out him. But at the same time, as someone who casts votes in Congress and who can impact what's happening to the LGBTQ community, I can see the disdain towards it. But you also, I think, there should be an understanding. Like, we all go through evolutions. Politicians go through mm-hmm. evolutions on their beliefs and sometimes sacrifice some things. So it's a difficult one. I could see, you know, both sides of this one.
It is.
As people come on tell their story. One thing I want to get to, we got a couple minutes left with you, Ben, is there's one thing usually that unites the GOP and the Democrats. It's we don't like Nazis.
Nothing
and,
unites like a
yes.
Nazi running for Congress,
yes.
right? Well, it's funny because Illinois Republicans have now been in this situation a couple of times where they have this fringe candidate named Arthur Jones who has run for, this is Dan Lipinski's seat mm-hmm. in Congress, so southwest side of Chicago.
Which is an interesting
Western Springs
story anyways with Lipinski and his battle.
Yeah, so
up.
Lipinski facing heat from and a primary challenge from his own party because of his pro-life stance. On the Republican side of that race, you've got a couple of candidates, including a member of the Will County Board. But then you have this perennial candidate, Arthur Jones, who is an admitted Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
So today you had Tim Schneider, the head of the Illinois Republican Party, and several other Republicans having a press conference to announce that the Illinois Republican Party is actually going to spend some money to try to educate people not to vote for this Nazi who is using the Republican flag and running underneath it. They're putting out robocalls, mailers, some digital ads. But it's interesting because 2 years ago when this guy ran unopposed on the Republican side, he got like 57,000 votes.
He got a third of the vote. And maybe it's because, and I think this is what the Republicans are trying to do, get the word out. I imagine there's a lot of straight ticket folks. Maybe they just weren't watching the news. They didn't know. And they punched his ballot. It just makes the whole party look bad.
Exactly. And I think the Illinois Republican Party got blindsided by this 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You could argue they should have done a better job of you know, policing candidates, if you will. I hate mm-hmm. that term. But, you know, of knowing who's running and who needs a primary challenger, perhaps, if for nothing else than to just, you know, say firmly what the Republican Party stands for.
Yeah, for sure. So. All right, what do we got coming up on Channel 9?
Coming up today at 4 o'clock, Julian Cruz reporting from the bond hearing. I know Roe has covered this extensively involving that stabbing mm-hmm. outside Richard's Bar. Some new information came out at this bond hearing where witnesses say the young man who was stabbed to death may have been involved in an altercation, a physical altercation with the guy who stabbed him. You remember this was controversial mm-hmm. because police originally let the guy go saying it was self-defense. Then they rearrested him and charged him with murder. So we'll have that story. Pat Elwood in the Gold Coast, where people not happy about plans for a pot shop in one of Chicago's toniest neighborhoods. Mike Lowe covering Aaron Schock, and we will have the latest on the presidential race.
All
right. Then there were two in Ann Tulsi.
Yeah.
She's still
two,
in it.
Two plus, two in present, I guess you could
two
say.
Two in one delegate.
Yeah. Hey, America Samoa came in for Tulsi. Don't forget about her. Come on. All right, Ben, thanks so much
for
your time.
You, John.
Appreciate it. All right. So, Ben Bradley, obviously Channel 9, letting you know what's coming up on WGN at 4, 5, 6, and every other hour they have news of the day. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk with Ted Land. He's a reporter out of Seattle from King 5, kind of the epicenter here in the United States in terms of what's going on with the coronavirus. We'll take the series serious side than the lighter side of coronavirus after the news here on 720 WGN. Oh. 720 WGN, John Hansen in for Ro Khan. Thanks so much for listening. 312-981-7200. Okay, Kim Gordon telling you about the coronavirus case here in Illinois, the young man passing through O'Hare Airport. Fifth case in Illinois, which really pales in comparison to what's happening on the West Coast, at least for now. The epicenter of coronavirus in the United States is in Seattle. That's where we find King 5 reporter Ted Land. Ted, thanks for joining us here this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, John.
All right, so Ted, kind of set the scene in Seattle. Walk us through the last couple days and what life is like in the Pacific Northwest right now.
Yeah, so this all started on Saturday morning. We learned of the first death in Washington State. And since then, every day, there's been this cascade of more cases and more deaths. The health officials make those announcements each morning at 11 a.m. And we've seen that number rise each day, including just within the last hour, we're now confirming an 11th death in Washington State. 70 total people have been sickened with coronavirus. That includes those deaths. It's important to note here, the deaths, many of them are people who already had underlying health issues. Mm-hmm. They were in their 70s, 80s, 90s. They were already in fragile health. And this virus became something they were not able to overcome. That's where a lot of those deaths are happening. And that activity mostly is centered in the suburbs of Seattle at a nursing facility, a rehab facility, which is really ground zero here for this outbreak. It's been spreading there, and a lot of the victims are people who lived at that nursing home.
I think a lot of people here in Chicago, you know, we haven't had any deaths in Illinois, if I'm remembering correctly. And, you know, obviously it's on everyone's mind. It's all people are talking about. But without the, you know, when you talk about 70 cases, and I wouldn't be surprised, of course, if that goes up and here in Chicago as well. Has everyday life been affected for folks up there? Are people taking different precautions? I saw a story that Starbucks is asking people to wash things down every 8 to 30 minutes. What's changing for folks every day? Schools, stuff like that?
Right. So the big changes really started happening yesterday and today. The biggest employers in the region are telling their workers work from home. So this includes Amazon, Microsoft, some of the medical research institutions, Facebook, the tech companies. These are tens of thousands of workers being told to work from home, in some cases through the end of the month. So for weeks going forward. That's a huge impact on a city like Seattle, where people commute in every day and work in these towers. It's a lot quieter in the city today than it has been in the past days, and that's because many of those people are working from home. There are two school districts that are closed for the coming days, and one of those districts is actually closing for 2 weeks and telling the students and teachers they're going to do their classes online. Mm. So you're going to be at home teaching your kids through a computer for the next 2 weeks. That starts on Monday. Other districts are canceling classes here and there, as there are reports that somebody may have come into contact with another person who has the virus. So this is, just within the last 2 days, these changes have really kicked in, and we're starting to see a noticeable change here in the city.
It's interesting that you guys, unfortunately, of course, are kind of the litmus test and maybe the example of, we'll see what you guys do and learn from those mistakes if, unfortunately, it spreads from here.
Yeah, and I'll say this, a few things to think about ahead of a virus arriving in your area. Whether or not you have enough food in your house, enough supplies, be prepared for the possibility that other people are going to react, perhaps overreact to this, mm-hmm. When these cases start showing up. So that's going to mean, you're not going to be able to find disinfectant on the store shelves. Toilet paper, for some reason, people are buying this up, and you can't find that in a lot of stores this week. The scenes at Costco that we're seeing on social media are, Costco is a madhouse already.
But right.
With this, add this to it, and there are like lines out the door. So whether or not you agree with that, that's an appropriate response, just know that that could be coming. Another thing, establish where you're going to get your information now. Make sure you know who to turn to, who to trust, where you're finding the right information. There's a lot of misinformation out there, and there's a lot of hysteria on social media. If you go on Facebook and try to rely on what, your neighbor or your cousin are telling you, it's just not going to be helpful. A level of calm here is essential, and there are ways to protect yourself and put yourself in the low-risk category as this moves forward. So start thinking about those now. If you don't need them, great. But this is a reminder that you really need to put those things in place.
And that's why I wanted to bring you on, Ted. Thanks so much for joining us. Ted Land from King 5 Seattle. Have a good one, okay?
Thanks, John.
Yeah, keep us posted. Yeah, I think a lot of people roll their eyes right now, but it happens really quickly. Ted said a couple days ago people weren't taking it as seriously, and now no one's going to work, and there's lines at Costco. Plenty more of this coming up in a bit, including the lighter side of the coronavirus. We've got at least some funny stories, some levity to the news. But let's check out the weather, and here's Kim Gordon. John Hansen in for Ro Khan, taking you up to Blackhawks pregame. Join the conversation, 312-917-2200. I know a lot of people are sick and tired of talking about the coronavirus, and I think a lot of that is because we've got at least a little space between the worst of it, whether it's in other countries or, as we just talked to Ted Land out of Seattle, the Pacific Northwest, California, a little bit worse than we've got it, at least right now. There's a lighter side of it, too, and I got a bunch of stories, but I want to know what's the craziest thing that you've seen people doing or their reactions to it, or are you taking it super seriously? Is there something that you're doing a lot different than you used to do in preparation, or are you just planning on living your best life no matter what? I got a cruise coming up in June, and I'm just fingers crossed that this thing will figure it out, but I know spring break, look, it's almost here. 312-917-2200. Have you canceled your cruise plans, your vacation plans, or are you just putting your head down and going through it? You can give us a call. You can text it on in. Had a good text from the 847. Just stopped by the Jewels, of course, to pick up something for dinner. I was in line behind a person that bought two gigantic packages of toilet paper, probably 50 rolls. She told the cashier she was stocking up. And that makes sense. Yeah, right? I mean, the last thing you want to run out of when you're at home, well, besides probably food and drinking water, would be some sort of toilet paper shortage. So 312-981-7200, have you seen anyone doing anything crazy? Have you changed anything? Are you stockpiling something in the house? What are you doing differently? Or what are you not doing differently? I saw a story that there was a truck full of toilet paper in Australia that was meant to supply a store with more toilet paper because they were running out, and unfortunately the truck spilled over and caught fire, and all that toilet paper is gone, which is just exacerbating the problems in Australia. But here's some of the funny headlines and maybe some answers for some of these coronavirus stories. I don't know how concerned people are about it, but the five most Googleable questions about coronavirus, if you enter can coronavirus, Google kind of fills out a few answers for you. Some of the good questions people are asking is, can coronavirus live on objects? Can it be stopped? Can it be cured? Does it spread in dogs to humans? Can it live on your clothes? Can it mutate? And there's actually a really good write-up in the Daily Herald today about answering all of those questions. We won't go through all of that. It's a bunch of science stuff that we don't need to get to. But again, 312-917-2200, are you changing any of your habits? One of the big things is the washing of the hands, which I know everyone, you know, should be washing their hands every single, you know, many times a day already. But different countries have been putting out different PSAs. I don't know if you guys have seen any of these before, but they're putting catchy tunes and dancers and people that are famous just simply demonstrating and singing along for how to wash your hands. Seems like a simple thing, but maybe that'll be like one benefit that comes out of this is if we have a refocus on hygiene in general.
John, call me crazy, yeah. But I've got a bit of a feeling we're all overreacting to this a little bit too much.
100%. Well, 99%.
I feel like my theory is some people love that there is... It's like, finally, The Walking Dead is coming to my real boring life, right, where everything is a crisis right now. Like, I think people buy into the hysteria of the whole thing, whether it's real or...
Yeah. I don't know. I think part of it is the way the story has slowly evolved. You know, each new city got it. Each new country got it. So it's just every day we're being inundated. And now it's every time there's a new case in Illinois or a new death in the country. And not that it'll be better when more people have it, but I think it'll become part of our normal, you know, we know X amount of people have it. It's just the news of the day. Quick mention, and there we go from there. Because at the end, you know, it's a virus. I think when we think of something like a pandemic or an epidemic spreading, we think of Ebola or something eating us from the inside. We've all seen movies like that. But this isn't that. Not that it shouldn't be taken seriously with a over 3% mortality rate. but it's a bad flu, essentially. So there is some overreaction to it. One of them might be condoms selling out as people are using them on fingers to protect themselves from the coronavirus.
I don't buy that story.
You don't buy it at all?
No.
They say stockpiling of supplies officially started. Some people have been using condoms for elevator buttons. Yeah, I don't know. There's gloves, right? Like just one more aisle over.
I have seen like just walking like through the halls either here or just around and people are like taking their hand and tucking in their shirt pulling the shirt up and then grabbing the handle.
I know, but maybe that's the best practice anyways.
It probably is.
Especially in flu season.
I mean, I'm mocking it, but I have been washing my hands more than I probably normally would.
I have too. And, you know, I'm someone who, you know, washes, you know, the normal amount of times normally, but I've been really kind of making sure and not just doing, you know, where you just put it under the faucet for a second, maybe add a little soap. You know, I've been trying to sing Happy Birthday and do it. In fact, the CDC, I think, has a little song to help us out with that. Brian, fire that one up.
Wash hands well each day to keep germs away. Scrub with soap and water and be on your way.
All right. I think it goes twice, right? And that's how long we're supposed to do it, 20 seconds. Doesn't seem like a long time, but 20 seconds washing your hands. Count the next time you do it. I bet most of us are doing a little bit too less. Jacob, you're stocking up right now to get ready for coronavirus.
Yeah, I don't want people to think that everybody is going crazy. I think it's more of just you'd rather be a little bit more prepared for certain shortages of things, like vitamins and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm not buying, like, thousands of dollars worth of crap.
Right,
you know?
Right. You're not. It's not the apocalypse you're preparing for.
Right, yeah, it's definitely not that. It's just, you know, what happens if, you know, the worst thing that could possibly happen.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And it's not super crazy. It's just kind of being more prepared.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Jacob, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. 312-917-7200. Are you preparing? Or are you just letting this go, however it may be? And I bet there's people out there really looking at their spring break plans and giving that a second look. MSN.com has a guide to stop touching your face, which I know seems real basic, right? Don't touch your face. Don't touch your eyelids. Don't go up your nose. Don't put your fingers in your mouth. But watch yourself do it for a day. Like, really consciously track how often you touch your face. And you will be amazed at how hard it is sometimes to not do it. Just a little itch, maybe. Maybe you got something in your teeth and you're like, oh, I'm just going to pick it out. Maybe a little gross, but you don't think about it. I don't want to say pick your nose, but maybe you're doing something like that. It's hard. This might be my favorite one, though. Coronavirus porn officially a thing after horny panic hits an all-time high. So I host with Amy Rutledge and Brandon Pope over at the Jam. Brandon's in all week, but they both pulled this up, which is never a good thing to do on your work Wi-Fi. That's why I didn't do it here at WGN. But yes, coronavirus porn is now a niche that if you search for it, again, don't do it at work, is a thing. It involves hazmat suits and zippers and even scissors being cut out of the hat. I don't do it. Am I painting too broad of a picture?
No, we want more detail.
Yeah.
Keep going, John.
Well, I haven't watched the whole thing, but there's the slow taking off of the mask. And an expert actually weighed in on this article that I'm reading, talking about how there's a fear kink, I guess you could say. There's like an element of, you know, and that makes sense, I guess, if that's your thing.
Does a pizza delivery guy show up wearing a hazmat suit? Maybe a plumber to fix a leaking pipe in a hazmat suit?
Right. They already had the set and the characters cast, so all they did was add a hazmat suit and coronavirus to the mix, and they got themselves a new picture. Yeah, that's a good idea. Campbell's Soup reporting that they've got more demand from soup stockpiling. They got to be pretty happy about that. 815 says, I work at the airport and just living my normal life, not too concerned about the virus. Yeah, like, that's my general rule of thumb, I feel like. But I don't know, like, just as Ted said, you know, 3 days ago, even when they had a lot of cases at the nursing home, everyone seemed to be fine. And now the roads are empty there. Would make your job pretty easy, Lauren. You just got corona.
Yeah, I know. I'm liking it.
Yeah, just get a whole month of corona-free on the roadways there.
You're like, traffic report, no accidents, nothing out there.
Right.
All right.
Nothing
have a good
doing.
One.
I was kind of amazed that CTA was saying, what do they clean the bus? I was reading an article about, I don't know, some other city is vowing to go through the deep cleansing of their buses and trains every day. Any guesses to how often the CTA train cleans out their buses?
I don't know if I want to know.
Anyone? Any guesses? Every day? What do you think? A deep clean.
Once a month?
No, it's every 3 days.
Oh.
That's
pretty good.
Yeah.
That sounds good, but does it? I don't know. Not every 3 days.
I honestly thought it was about once a month as well.
Okay. All right. Well, there we go. CTA doing it once every 3 days. Maybe they should up that as well. All right. I promise we're going to be done with the coronavirus now. Coming up after the news, we're going to be talking with Seamus Toomey. He's a co-founder of Block Club Chicago. They got great local stories. We'll be chatting with him a bit. And then also talking with Caleb Silver about the stock markets. It's a don't look at your 401k sort of day. We'll have all the details coming up from the news next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
News. The markets and metrics that affect you. Being ahead of the pack for opportunity.
Ideas.
Experts and insights that can grow and secure your financial future. I'm Jisoo Kee, inviting you to check in with the Wintrust Business Lunch. Weekdays at noon on 720.
WGN. 720 WGN. Good afternoon. 409. John Hansen here in for Rokan. We'll take you up to Blackhawks pregame. Clouded over just a little bit, but always sunny when Seamus Toomey of Block Club Chicago steps on. And Seamus, how you doing, my friend?
I am doing great, John. Thanks for having me.
No problem. You hear Block Club a lot on the morning shows with Bob Surratt, and we got to break down all the great stories that you guys are working on. I'm sure most people know what Block Club Chicago is, but just in case they don't, one little reminder for folks out there.
We are an independent neighborhood news site covering Chicago's neighborhoods. We're a nonprofit, subscription-based site. We're 65% reader-supported, so thank you everyone out there that gives a little bit to keep us going. And basically, we put a reporter in your neighborhood, and she covers or he covers everything that moves, from the big stories to the little stories to the school board meetings to the CAPS meetings to the development meetings, whatever. The interesting people we like to, you know, keep it interesting. We always say if this is something you think your wife or your husband or your girlfriend will share, you know, the story, let's do it, because that's how we get the word out.
And if anyone was sick of the Chance the Snapper story, they can blame you guys.
Blame us. Armina Bloom, Humboldt Park reporter, broke that story and wrote about 1,000 stories about it afterwards.
Yeah.
So we are the old DNA Info, and which makes this a reunion of sorts, because you know, John and I used to work together at DNA Info.
Exactly. All right, let's jump right in. Okay, so Chicago, a bar owner, I guess we shouldn't be surprised, is on a beer-only diet for Lent. And he's not joking around here. What, maybe a little coffee or water along the way, but he's really going for it with just straight-up beer, right?
This is astounding. Yes, his name's Patrick Berger. He owns Patty Long's in Lakeview and Kaiser Tiger in the West Loop.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for Lent, and so he's got 40 days. And he had read about it. Someone else did this in Pittsburgh once, and he was Patrick was surprised. I think the guy lost 44 pounds over Lent.
Lost 44 pounds.
Lost 44 pounds.
This is really counter to what I'd expect. Although I guess you're not having food, so.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I personally, you know, when you drink a lot of beer, I never lose weight.
Right.
But maybe it's because, you know, I'm eating salty snacks as well.
Yeah, for sure.
But he's got a plan. It's by no means scientific.
Right.
Someone asked him, like, is this healthy? And he's like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no expert. But he limits it to 4 beers a day. He said he tried 2. He went up to 7 one day, and he said there's nothing worse than being hungover and not being able to eat.
Yes, and then just having to, you know, refire it on up in half. So 4 a day. What dark beers, light beers? What's he doing?
He's mixing it up a little bit, but he started with heavy beers. He was trying to get as many nutrients in as possible. But I think just to sort of keep him from going insane, he's been mixing it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But he also does black coffee. Lots of water.
Okay.
And that's kind of the key here is hydration and vitamins as well, because he's got to be missing something from not eating.
He hasn't asked his doctor about this or anything?
No. In fact, he was intentionally vague to his doctor, I think. But I think he knew if he told his doctor he was doing this, she would say, no, don't do it. He does have a doctor's appointment scheduled randomly or whatever it was scheduled. I think it's next week, so he's expecting probably to hear bad news from him.
Yeah, right, especially since it's been all over the news now. How is he doing? Because the guy in Cincinnati, what, lost a bunch of weight? How's he doing?
Right, so our reporter who wrote the story, Justin Lawrence, he checked in with Patrick about an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he reports we're on day 22, and he's 22 pounds down.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, so it's just falling off. you know, falling right off of them. He said the first week was the hardest, as you can imagine.
I don't know. I think they're all pretty hard at some point. But yeah, getting used to it for sure.
Obviously, tell the listeners this is like a horrible idea. this isn't a great idea.
To all the kids out there, of course, don't do this. To the adults, yeah, right. Probably avoid that as well. We got to take a quick break here to find out what's going on with the weather. Kim Gordon, a little cloudier now.
Watch for Chicago's very own Stories with Micah and Joe, Micah Matera, and Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN TV News at 9.
Kevin Powell's also trying out that beer-only diet, I heard, right, Kevin?
I also mix in pizza and cheeseburgers.
Right.
Well.
See, that's where they get you with the pizza and the cheeseburgers. Yeah. John Hanson in for Rokan. Kevin will actually finish it up here at 6:30 to 7, but we're taking you up to Blackhawks pregame, Pride Night over at the United Center. Come say hi. I'll be up in Section 312 if you're going to the game tonight. Come say hello. Doing the in-stadium hosting, getting the crowd pumped up and stuff. And, boy, the Blackhawks winning a couple games in a row, so another big one. I mean, pretty much, Kevin, at this point, it's almost every single one.
I know. I keep saying must win. I'm trying to find different ways to dress up the preview of the game, but that's really the gist of it. They got to get a minimum at least a point every game.
Yeah, especially when you got, well, now 10 of the next 17 here at home, or the last 17. This is it, so got to do it. All right, so Seamus Toomey joining me from Block Club Chicago. Just to wrap this one up. So the Paul Berger, Patrick Berger, excuse me, just joining us. He's a bar owner, Kaiser Tiger, another one up in Lakeview, going beer only diet for Lent. He's 22 days in. He's lost 22 pounds. This is actually based on an old diet, right?
Right.
Or
exactly.
Legend of one.
Exactly. He's mimicking the Bavarian monks who used to do this. They would brew a special Doppelbock for the Lenten season, and then they would just go all in. They would drink nothing but that for Lent. So it's modeled after that. It's gone around. Some other folks around the country have done it with varying degrees of success. And Patrick said, hey, I've always wanted to try this. I'm a beer guy to begin with. Let's go for it. And, you know, God bless him.
I mean, it's like juicing, just adding like vodka to it or something. I don't know. You're getting some nutrients, right?
Is there a 40-day juice, though? I mean, I don't know.
I'm sure someone's tried it. We did have a question from the 219. I don't know if your reporter asked this. Is he going to the bathroom all the time? Because, I mean, you're just doing liquid. I mean, you've got to be planning that out. I don't know.
That's a fantastic question. I don't know the answer to it, and I should, because as an editor, that's always one of the questions is how do they go to the bathroom with this sort of thing. You know,
that's always the last. We learned that in journalism school. The last question you always ask.
Right. The guy who's, you know, going to sit in bed for 4 weeks. You know, like, what's your plan?
All right. We'll get back on that one. Let's talk about weed. Boy, it's been one of course, the biggest stories here this year. 4 weed dispensaries on an expensive but uncertain collision course to open in the Prize River North neighborhood. What do you mean by collision course?
Well, with the new weed dispensaries in Chicago, there's several rules. There's zones where you can open so many of them, but one very interesting rule is you can't be within 1,500 feet of another dispensary.
Okay.
So you're talking about, you know, about
quarter of a mile. Yeah.
But the folks that want to open in River North, they're all coveting like this area near, you know, right, you know, in the heart of River North. Mm-hmm. They're trying to target the tourists as well as the people that will walk from the loop.
So what, like Michigan Avenue in Chicago or over by the Franklin Brown Line stop, like that kind of region?
Yeah, because
it's not a big space, to be honest.
Right. They're all clustered around like 400 North Clark.
Okay.
And 400 North LaSalle over there. Mm-hmm. There's some empty buildings over there, and they've snatched them all up. And they've all proposed that they're going to open there. Now, had they spread out a little bit in River North, we could get several of these could get the approval.
Mm-hmm.
But since they're all clustered together, and they know they are, they're basically playing chicken against each other
right.
About who's going to get it. But what I find interesting is this might mean a matter of actually building out a dispensary without having any idea if you're going to be the one that gets the final approval. So you could build out this $1 million dispensary and then be told, sorry, you know, the guys next door got the license.
When you say build out, you mean build it? I mean,
like build it.
The whole
right.
thing.
Yeah. I mean, these buildings already exist,
right.
But it would be, you know, going
in the counters
and gutting it and the counters and the, you know, the space and the couches and the, you
so
know,
that
the,
comes the, before the license comes.
Exactly. It's a very strange process.
Okay.
And so the alderman there, Alderman Brendan Riley, said, hey, I warned these guys, don't all cluster together because someone's going to end up losing $1 million. But obviously, it speaks to what sort of profits are at the end of the rainbow on this one, where you could just roll the dice on blowing $1 million and not getting the license.
Right, and I imagine with a dispensary, that could easily convert maybe into something else, some other business. You wouldn't lose maybe your entire investment in the process.
Right, and you know, laws are meant to be changed. We know that in Illinois especially. So these rules could be, they could be loosened a little bit. You could eventually down the road get one of these, but they are all in. And because if you remember, the Loop itself is excluded mm-hmm. from having a dispensary. Mayor Lightfoot didn't want that downtown. She didn't want it on Michigan Avenue itself. But the exclusion zone ends right about Clark.
Well, that's why they're all in
that
region.
That's why they're all lined up there. You know, it's like, you know, when there's a dry town and all the bars line up on the border, mm-hmm. you know, because everyone from the dry town goes and drinks just on the other side of the street. That's kind of what's going on here. So there's nothing in the law that says that exclusion zone, the Loop, has to stay like that forever. So in a couple years, you know, Alderman Riley said this, in a couple years they may revisit this and say, hey, you know what, this isn't creating a big disturbance. We mm-hmm. don't have lines out the door clogging up traffic. Maybe it's okay to, you know, let there be one in the, you know, the bottom of the Board of Trade or something.
Yeah, it's interesting that the 1,500 feet rule, you know, a lot of times, well, maybe less than it used to be, but Alderman had a lot of discretion on what they could do, maybe bend those rules, but that's a state law. So that's not something that the city's going to be able to bend on.
Correct. And that one may not be something that gets changed real fast because, you know, they moved this bill through pretty fast. So to open it back up again, to change something significant like that. But, you know, in other states, there, you know, in Colorado, you know, you could have a couple on a block. Mm-hmm. You know, so you end up with like these sort of cannabis districts. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to avoid that in Illinois. But we'll see. All these four companies that are squaring off are in front of the Zoning Board of Appeals meeting, which Block Club will be at tomorrow. You know, thrilling.
And that, but that's what I love about Block Club. You go to the school board meetings. You go to the parent meetings. You know, you are in those meetings, and that's where the nitty-gritty happens.
Yes, we say we go to meetings so you don't have to. And we try to sort of get rid of the jargon and make sense of it all and then report back.
That's great. All right, the weather's turning a bit. I actually put the golf clubs from storage into the back of the car, hopefully using those at some point soon. But, you know, Chicago weather might put you back inside here pretty quickly, and Wicker Park might have you helping. It might help you out there with a little mini golf.
Yeah, I didn't know about this one. Our reporter, Hannah Alani, was at a neighborhood meeting last night, and this group came and said they wanted to turn a vacant store in Wicker Park into an indoor mini golf, which all of a sudden caught my attention. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't love mini golf? It's, you know, better outside in the summer, in my opinion. But,
right.
But, you know, how long does summer last?
Right, right.
So this is at 1302 North Milwaukee. It used to be, if you can picture it, the Silver Room had a pop-up there over the winter. They want to call this the Big Mini.
Okay.
And not a whole lot of details were spilled yet.
Don't know if it's going to be windmills or clown faces. You don't
exactly
know the layout of the holes yet.
Right. You got to shoot through the Sears Tower, probably something
yep,
like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we can assume, you know, the bells and whistles. There'll probably be, you know, food and drink and you know, all that, things that go with mini golf.
Don't you remember when bars used to just be a place you'd put your belly up to and just drink, and now it's all experience-based Instagram stuff?
It's, you know, it's shuffleboard. It's, you know, they got a little
curling.
Bit curling. That's, yeah, there's a little bit of everything and it's fun. But, you know, you and I, we just belly up to the bar.
I mean, I don't mind if other people do it, but I'm going to be just sitting there at the bar and just enjoying myself there. 312-917-200, join the conversation. I've been asking everyone before we give one more plug to Block Club Chicago. Don't know if you heard earlier, Seamus, one of my favorite threads on Reddit right now is, if you woke up and the year was 2040, you woke up from a coma, what would be the first thing that you would Google? A lot of people have said, who's the president? That's the answer they want. I don't know. Maybe something Chicago-centric. How high is Lake Michigan? I don't know. What would you want to know if you woke up in a coma in 20 years?
Oh, wow.
Not to put you on the spot like this.
I'm going to say, have the Bears won a Super Bowl?
That's what Kevin Bowles said, too.
Or the Cubs.
Yeah, that was my number two as well.
I'm guessing with the Bears. No, I shouldn't say it.
Yeah.
Yes, they're going to have 115. You know, Mitch Trubisky is going to be the new GOAT.
Uh-huh.
He's going to have too many rings for his fingers.
Would you be bummed that you missed it, though? Or would you be just happy that it happened?
Oh, I'd be horrified that I missed it. Are you kidding me?
Exactly. Hey, we're all in line, Kevin, here. We're all got the same exact answer. I like that. Do you think it'll happen in 20 years?
Well, I think so. I hope so. I pray so.
Right.
I think I agree. I'd be bummed if I missed it.
I know.
I'd like to wake up and be like, Bears heavy favorites to win
yes.
next year's Super Bowl.
Yes, it's
They've
late January.
They've got the MVP quarterback.
Yes. It's late January 2040, and the Super Bowl's coming up in 2 weeks or something like that. They're in the NFC Championship game. All right, Seamus Toomey, Block Club Chicago. How can people get involved, get to know what's going on in the neighborhoods?
You can go to blockclubchicago.org. We've got a free morning newsletter. The best of our stories every morning go out, and we've got subscription options there. But just come to the website, check us out. We're also all over social media. We're everywhere. So give us a chance. Check it out. People tend to, when they find us, they love us.
Subscription is what? $6, $7, $8 a month? Something like that?
It's just pennies. Pennies a day, John.
Yes, pennies a day.
Yeah, $59 a year. We always have some kind of discounted rate available out there.
That's
so,
great.
It's a great deal, in
Thanks.
My opinion.
Thanks so much, Seamus. We appreciate it. 815 just texted in, I would Google my 401k. Well, we might get a little clarity on that after the news here on 720 WGN.
Are there suddenly great spring break travel bargains? And the best way to fly germ-free? Travel expert Peter Greenberg at 7:48 with me, Bob Surratt, in the morning.
Bob Surratt, Radio Chicago, WGN.
720 WGN, John Hanson here at 4:38. I'm in for Ro Khanda. Ori Ro is back tomorrow. Okay, so yeah, markets have their ups and downs, of course, but the last week has looked like the worst EKG report you could ever get, with violent swings up and down. Today, down nearly 1,000, here to walk us off the ledge, or I don't know, maybe he'll push us off of it. Caleb Silver, editor-in-chief of Investopedia. Caleb, oh boy, up and down we go.
Yeah, you said it. Volatility is the name of the game. It's been very intense, and we should all know this is not normal. These 3, 4, 5% swings intraday, they happen about once or twice a year. To have five of them in the span of 8 days is not normal. That just shows you how dangerous and volatile the market is. But I won't push off the ledge, and if I do, I'll go there with you. But I think things are very scary times for individual investors right now.
Is this all coronavirus?
I think a lot of it is. We did see a lot of buying yesterday as the Dow Jones Industrials went up about 1,100 points. I think a lot of that was driven by healthcare stocks, which got a boost, I think, behind Joe Biden's Super Tuesday win, because he's promised to keep Obamacare, if elected, as the law of the land. And that's very good for insurance stocks and healthcare stocks. That sort of led the rally. But we also had the Federal Reserve cutting interest rates by 0.5% in a surprise cut on Tuesday. Markets sold off on that news, but I think what the Fed was doing was saying, we're going to do whatever it takes, including cutting interest rates as low as they could possibly go, and we want the rest of the world to do it. So Australia did it this morning. We'll probably see the European Central Bank do it later this week, tomorrow. And so some of that may have led to the rally yesterday, but investors are very pessimistic today as the number of cases and fatalities continues to rise in major cities around the world.
Boy, if you had a crystal ball every day, you could have made a lot of money in the last couple days.
Sure. It's a market for traders, because these swings up and down are great if you're trading in and out of the market. But individual investors who are in it for the long term, saving for retirement, saving for a big purchase, this will make your head spin and make your head hurt. But you have to have patience here. Sit back. Let this settle, because markets eventually will settle back to the norm, back to the mean, and then it'll be a good time to get back in and reset your portfolio against your goals. But right now is not a time to try to catch the falling knife or time the market.
I think a lot of the problem is, for the last 10 years, it's been really fun every day or couple of days to hit refresh on your 401k, because it's been mostly good news. And the people that do that, they're the most susceptible to the emotional spin of the last couple of days.
Right. I would say don't check your portfolio. Let this all wash out. You may check it in a week, a couple of weeks, at the end of the quarter, and you may see that you've had some losses. Losses are a part of the natural market cycle. It's part of investing. We haven't had them in a while. We were up 30% last year. It's part of the cycle. It's a good chance to get back in at lower prices, reset your portfolio, rebalance it so you're not overly weighted towards risky stocks if you're afraid of another washout. But it's a good time to get back in. But right now, you just have to let this pass, let the noise die down. You'll have your opportunity. I can't say it'll be next week or next month, but it will come.
All right, so I'm just a fill-in guy here, so everyone knows I don't got much money, but there's a little bit on the side, and I was, as it was falling, you know, there's like a, I had like a number in my head. Is it smart to ever have a number in your head where you might want to like buy and take advantage of it, or is it best to kind of just wait a little bit to see where this thing's going? Because if it does start on this downward trajectory, if coronavirus continues to spread as they predict, it may not be the best bet to try and play that game.
Yeah, I would not try to play that game.
Okay.
And I would tell that to an investing professional with 50 years of experience. I would tell it to you with very little experience. And I tell it to our readers every day. I tell it to myself. You can't time the market. What you can do is say, I'm comfortable investing at these levels. I'm going to put a little bit of money in every week, every month, and dollar cost average my win. And over time, if you've done that for the last 5 years, 10, 20, 50 years, the market has rewarded you by going up 6 to 8% a year on average. And I think eventually that will continue. You just can't see the forest through the trees right now.
I think we're a little insulated by pretty solid other numbers showing the health of the U.S. economy. Are there numbers, though, that make you worry that it's not as strong, the underlying factors aren't as strong? Are you still, you know, feeling pretty good about where we are, minus what's happening with the coronavirus?
Well, good question. Consumers have really been strong for the past 18 months or so, and they've been benefited by low interest rates, and low interest rates has got lower, and low gas prices, relatively speaking. That's put money in the pockets of consumers. They've held up the U.S. economy through the China-U.S. trade wars, which was no small feat. The fact is, if we start to see people not going to restaurants, not going to movie theaters, going to sporting events and concerts, not traveling, we're going to see a dent in consumer spending. We're going to see companies have to pull back, maybe lay people off or delay hiring plans and expansion plans. That's going to eventually hurt consumers and slow down the economy. Could tip us into a recession if we're not there already. That's the concern.
Yeah.
If the virus is contained in the sooner rather than in 6 months or 8 months, that could all mitigate itself. But right now, that's the big risk.
Caleb, I took a step and a half back off the ledge. That's pretty good.
Good. We'll stay there. We're going to be all right. I promise you that.
Thanks, Caleb Silver, editor-in-chief of Investopedia. Hey, you ever wonder who's going to be in your band if you started one? It turns out the last four digits of your phone number might be able to figure it out. Cloudy skies right now. Kim Gordon, though, I'm looking forward to the weekend. 720 WGN, John Hanson in for Rokan. Rose back tomorrow. Hope you're enjoying Thursday afternoon here. Clouded over just a little bit, but boy, we've had some good weather, and the weekend's going to be nice too. So on this Friday Eve, I guess just take some solace in that. Join the conversation too, 312-981-7200. In just a moment, there's this cool thread that's going around the internet. It's the last four digits of your phone number forms your super group. It gives you a singer, a guitarist, a bassist, and a drummer, kind of 0 through 9 each digit. So we're all going to find out who is in our super group and see what kind of band that will form. So 312-91-7200. Don't worry, we won't read your phone number on the air. We got a little caller ID here. We can fill your band for you if you just call in and want to find out who is in your super group and whether you agree with it or not. So that's coming up in just a moment. I do want to let everyone know that we're doing, of course, I think everyone heard about the tornado outbreak through downtown Nashville, which was just kind of shocking to see. I believe it was early Tuesday morning, just the downtown tornado, which is interesting because the only tornado I've ever experienced was in downtown Nashville. I was down for a Blackhawks Predators game back in either 2011 or 2012. Same scenario, not as drastic or as terrifying or, as it turns out, deadly. But yeah, we were in Nashville. All of a sudden, everything clouded over. It was late February, so right around the same time of year. And then all of a sudden, that tornado sirens were going off. Scary stuff at night as well. But the tornado outbreak all through Tennessee, at least right now, the latest numbers I think I saw were 24 people killed, dozens more hurt, hundreds of homes and other buildings destroyed or damaged. So our sister station, WKRN-TV in Nashville, is partnering with the American Red Cross to raise money in the aftermath of these devastating storms. I know the Blackhawks did part of their split, the pot proceeds the other night went to the Predators and their efforts to help out as well. So if you're interested in that, if that's something that you want to help out with, of course, the American Red Cross, boy, they answer the call when the going gets tough. They are immediately on the ground helping people that have lost their home, lost a loved one, helping any way they can. Of course, they help here in Chicago, too. I think people see the Red Cross and they think of natural disasters only, but when there's a fire, they help out not only the family, but maybe the firefighter's family if there's any injuries or anything like that. They get called in the middle of the night. I've done some live shots with them where they respond really quickly to scenes to try and help out, because when it's on your darkest day, there's nothing like someone kind of holding your hand and helping you get on up. And that's what the Red Cross does. So if you want some more information about how you can help out, WGNRadio.com, and there's more information there. Again, that'll help out our sister station, WKRN-TV in Nashville. One other thing to clean up, quite literally, the coronavirus story. I said we were done with it, but of course we aren't, because you walked something in here great, Jeff. We talked about the toilet paper stashing that people are doing. Had an earlier texter saying Costco, someone was buying like 100 rolls of toilet paper just to stash up. Well, if you're curious how much toilet paper you need, of course there is a study for it. It's kind of a tough metric. I think everyone has different preferences. If you got 2-ply, how much you're using, what might be the case. But they say that on average, for each trip to the restroom, we're using between 8 or 9 sheets, which I think is an undersell, personally. But that's what they say, 8 or 9 sheets of toilet paper. That averages about 57 sheets a day. I don't know. That sounds about right, I guess. The 8 or 9 seems low to me, but 57 seems about right. And they say that if you, you know, analyze who's using what sort of ply, they're estimating that you need about 203 sheets per roll. So they filled it on out, trying to figure out exactly what that is. But if you, boy, they got a lot of math here. You highlighted a lot of stuff here, Jeff. I can't even find the amount. But just say that you need about three rolls in. Sorry, this is really great radio, guys. In 3 days, you go through a roll per person, okay? That's what we're trying to get at here. Boy, just like we drew this segment up, guys. So that's your math. You got 5 people in the house. Think about it. Each person's going to go through a roll in 3 days. You know what? You do the rest of the math. I don't need to do it. Let's find out what my super group is. So I won't tell you my last 4 digits, but I'll give you a couple of them. So the first 2 of my last 4 are 1 and 4. So the singer group is first. Freddie Mercury is number 1. So that is a great start for me in terms of singer. My guitarist is Keith Richards, and I think I'm building quite the super group here. I go back to my bassist is Chris Squire. I don't know who that is. Can someone help me out with that? Anyone know who Chris Squire is? I don't know many bassists, but he's my bassist in my super group. And my drummer is Dave Grohl. So I got a bassist I don't know. I'm sure someone's going to educate me really quickly here
from
on the
Yes.
text.
Progressive rock band, Yes.
All right. Thank you. Did you have to look that up or did you know that?
I did have to look that up.
Thank you for doing
bassists
that.
Bassists don't exactly stand out. Everybody can name a guitarist or a lead singer and even drummers for the most. Bassists kind of, they get shuffled to the side a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that's how they like it. But I'd say I got a pretty darn good super group. So we want to try and figure out. Kevin, do you have the sheet in front of you?
I do.
All right.
I got a pretty solid one as well.
All
here.
Right, give it to me.
All right, I got Axl Rose off the top.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Eric Clapton as guitarist. Come on, that's money right there.
It's an interesting mix-up, too. I like that.
Cliff Burton. You know Cliff Burton?
No.
Metallica.
Okay, hey.
And Keith Moon, one of the great drummers of all time.
That's a pretty...
From The Who.
That's a pretty...
Very pleased with this list.
That's a good one. Yeah. Lauren Lapka, did you get the sheet of paper?
I did.
Who'd you got?
I start strong and then kind of fell flat. But, Freddie Mercury.
Yeah,
so
I'm telling... That's the best vocalist of all time, mm-hmm. my opinion.
Prince is my guitarist.
Jeez!
Yeah.
What?
But then I go to Les Claypool for bassist and Sheila E. for drummer.
See, Les Claypool, I at least know. He's like one of the mm-hmm. bassists I know. And who is your drummer?
Sheila E.
I don't know who that is. Okay.
Me neither.
All right. Sounds good. His protege? Okay. There you go. All right. Kim Gordon, did you get your super group list together?
You guys have to help me out. I don't know who half these people are.
Same here.
Okay. So I have Sammy Hagar.
Okay. That's a good start.
What does he sing?
I don't know.
Give me something.
Van Halen.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. All right. Keith Richards for my guitarist. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Bruce?
No idea.
And drummer Neil Peart?
Neil Peart. Rush drummer.
Oh, he just died.
Considered maybe the greatest drummer of all time.
Oh, he passed away?
All right. Yeah. I'm feeling good then.
Oh, well, yeah, exactly. Well, that's too bad that he passed away.
Yeah,
but he'll resurrect himself. That's fine.
Well, 2 of my 4 are gone.
Yeah, exactly.
Are now no longer with us. They're rock stars, for crying out sake.
I think a bunch of mine are as well. Yeah. Hey, we wanted to figure out, you know, the phone numbers that we all know and get in our head, the jingles that are providing us. Let's figure out what Empire Carpets would be. Let's play the clip first.
588-2300-EMPIRE.
All right, so if Empire had a super group, maybe to welcome you in, maybe on a real big carpet sale, they're bringing you in the door, they got a group they play, trying to get as many feet in the door as they can. 2300 is the last, they got Mick Jagger, That's a good start. Jimmy Page, their Ooh. Guitarist. And they got Geddy Lee as their bassist, who I don't know. And they got Neil Peart as well. So Empire Carpet, I think they'd rock out. And then I imagine the old guy would do something in the back. Maybe a little harmonica, you know, the original spokesperson.
Triangle.
Yeah. Yes, the Empire guy would be playing triangle for sure.
Geddy Lee from Rush.
Oh, so we got 2 out of 4 from Rush. Right? Because did you say Neil Peart was Rush or no?
Yes.
Yeah, so we got half a Rush.
There you go.
Rushing on into Empire. They'd work that in there somehow, right? Rush on down.
I love it.
Yeah, exactly. 312-981-7200 if you want to figure out yours. We had one text in. I won't read the last 4 digits of theirs. They've got David Bowie as well, which is, of course, a good start. They've got Keith Richards, Jack Bruce, and Chad Smith. I know Jack Bruce. I don't know Chad Smith.
Chad Smith, he's the one that looks like Will Ferrell, right?
Is he?
I think that's Foo Fighters.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm getting a nod from Jeff. So Foo Fighters. Nice job. It's a pretty good one as well. 312-981-7200 if you want to figure that on out. We'll certainly help you out. And don't worry, you don't have to read the last 4 digits on your phone number. We've got them taken care of. I did find it fun that as Brian was going through and pulling up old commercials, he went really down the rabbit hole with some old jingles. Hey, let's hear number 5 for old time's sake here. I think we'll all find this familiar.
Hi, I'm Chicago. I have my own kind of politics, my own kind of music, my sports teams, and when I laugh, the whole world grins. I have my own radio station, WGN. We go all day, we go all night. Anytime you want me, just tune in here or give me a call.
WGN Radio in Chicago.
And a number back in 1984 when that commercial was 312-987-7200. Bob Dylan, 7200. We got Bob Dylan, Eddie Van Halen, and then, of course, another 00 at the end. Half of the Rush group coming on in. Well, I think a lot of these places would have half of Rush to end it on out because they all end in the 00s, or a lot of them do. Keep those phone calls coming on in. 312-981-7200. That, of course, is our updated number. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
I know what you're thinking. We could use some good news, John. It's called The Bright Side. You'll call in, tell me something good, something happy. We'll all smile. It'll work. John Williams, starting at 9.
Chicago's very own WGN.
All right, John Hanson in for Rokan. We're taking you up to Blackhawks pregame, as you heard Kevin mention. Big game tonight at the United Center. Pride night, too, at the United Center as well, which is pretty cool. They've done some Pride-related things, but this is the first official Pride night at the United Center, which I think is great. My name is John Hanson. For those of you that don't know, I fill in here at WGN Radio off and on, but I'm at CW26 or WCIU the U every morning on The Jam from 6 to 8 a.m. if you want to watch us there, and hosting at the Blackhawks games on the video board. You can come see me in section 312 tonight. I'm going to be hustling over there for puck drop at about 6:30, and Kevin Powell will take you the rest of the way through Rose Show. He'll be back tomorrow, though. So let's get going with the top 3 at 5, kind of the 3 things that you got to know about here as you wrap up your day if you're driving on home. First of all, thanks again for listening, as always. But let's get right into it. So Senator Elizabeth Warren, one of the big stories, of course, today. No real surprise, speaking in Cambridge, Massachusetts, officially confirming the end of her run for the presidency after a pretty disappointing Super Tuesday, in which she even finished 3rd place in her home state. She kind of had an emotional press conference. She reflected on how the election impacted her life, how she'd kind of continue her work in the Senate as well. A lot of people wondering if maybe she'll be a VP candidate, but that would mean giving up her Senate seat, and you got a Republican governor who would appoint a senator. So a lot of people don't think that maybe she'll be considered, but maybe. She used part of her conference to lament that America's got to wait even longer to have its first woman president. But at one point, she was asked if gender and sexism are still factors of American politics.
Gender in this race, you know, that is the trap question for every woman. If you say, yeah, there was sexism in this race, everyone says, whiner. And if you say, no, there was no sexism, about a bazillion women think, what planet do you live on? I promise you this, I'll have a lot more to say on that subject later on.
A lot more to say on that. Yeah, I could see both sides of that. I think that any woman who's running for office or a person of color, I think people are generally accepting of them. But when there's a gaffe along the way, I think people are way more likely to forgive a white male than they are someone else. The standards are a lot higher for those running. That's just my two cents on that. People wondering if she's going to endorse anyone. I would imagine my guess would be no. I know she's gotten a lot of backlash from Bernie Sanders people for even staying in through Super Tuesday. I don't think she's going to be quick to endorse him or maybe even Joe Biden at that. All right, number two, bad news for health freaks planning to hit up Arnold Schwarzenegger's sports festival this weekend, which I didn't know was a thing. Sounds great, but bad news, it's been terminated. Nice job, Ryan. We appreciate that. He wrote that script for me. Due to the coronavirus, for now, the event in Columbus, Ohio, the biggest health and fitness expo where 250,000 people gather every year to check out all the new equipment, apparel, and nutrition booths. Schwarzenegger made a video to deliver the bad news.
It was a very sad day for me today because we just had to cancel the Arnold's Classic Sports and Fitness Festival. But I think it was a wise decision because under the circumstances, listening to the governor's concern, to the mayor's concern, to the CDC's concern, and all the expert scientists in the health community and the doctors, I think it was the right thing to do because we want to keep people safe and we want to keep people healthy. And we are promoting the health and fitness convention. So to us, we are the biggest and the best in the world, but making money is less important than being healthy and promoting health and fitness. We want people to stay healthy and fit. That's what it's all about.
I want him to deliver any piece of bad news for me ever because no matter what, it brings a smile to me to hear him what he has to say. I imagine if he were to know that you were to contract coronavirus, he'd probably say,
get to the chopper!
Yeah, get on out of there. Number three, Nick Wallenda, the so-called king of the high wire, pulled off his most dangerous stunt yet. He traversed Nicaragua's Masaya volcano, dubbed the Mouth of Hell. The walk was televised live last night on ABC in a special entitled Volcano Live with Nick Wallenda, or probably Will You Watch This Guy Die? I think that's probably why people tune in the most. Nick made it look easy, even cracking jokes along the way.
Oh my gosh. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Kind of ridiculous what you have to do to get a good view of a volcano these days. The gas has hit me hard. My eyes actually started to burn. But the gas mask has certainly done its job properly. But my eyes were burning.
Oh, my God. I mean, you're only watching that to see if it could fall. When he walked across the Chicago River, I know that's why I was watching it.
Do it without a safety harness, and you get some real ratings.
Yeah, yeah, right? Exactly. A lot of people were commenting that it's all, of course, it's all a big stunt. I know he did it here in Chicago, successfully crossing between the two buildings. Good for Nick Wallenda. Good for ratings. I got to say, Kim Gordon, he would not want to try that tomorrow.
Early morning, stay safe and stay connected with Morgan Kochmeyer's weather forecast and Sarah Gindra's traffic reports weekdays 4 to 6 on WGN TV Morning News.
Better than the bed bugs there, Kevin Powell. Feel better about that?
I do, very much.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so do you know what your spouse does for a living? Yeah, I bet a lot of you might be able to tell you the title or the company that he or she works for. But could you actually describe the day of your spouse, what they do during the day? Think about that for a second. 312-981-7200. I think a lot less people know than want to admit. I want some people to admit to us. 312-981-7200. In fact, coming from CNBC, two-fifths of people know the access to their partner's phone. Do you like their access code? You know, I do not know the access code to my husband's phone. Anyone else? Kevin, are you
not in a relationship?
No, I was gonna say, I don't think so.
I wouldn't want to know her PIN code though.
Okay, all right.
Oh, I know my husband's PIN code. Oh, I know his social security number.
Oh wow, memorized.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
I've been married 34 years though. Come on.
How do you know his PIN?
You see him do it, or do you ask?
Both. I can get into anything. Trust me. I'm not worried though.
Do you tell him every morning when you wake up in the morning? Just remember, I can get into anything.
Oh yeah, he knows.
Mm-hmm. Lauren, are you betrothed to anyone? Is that a word?
No.
Okay. So would you want to know your partner's phone PIN? Do you think that's...
No, I think that proves that you have trust issues, and that's a bigger problem.
Well, Kim, she threw you under the bus right
Absolutely
easy there.
Absolutely not. No, I'll tell you why. I do not have any trust issues at all, but sometimes, you know, we're driving in the car, and he's like, will you text this to somebody for me? And, you know, if you don't have face recognition, you have to know the person's code to get in.
That totally makes sense. If they're fine with giving it to you...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you're digging for it, though.
I didn't sneak around and... get it. I just, He gave it out. But you know what? I know him so well, I could have guessed it.
Oh, because it's his birthday.
No.
One, two, three, four.
No, not that bad.
I know that's as good as he's going to make it. Okay. Boy, this is a separate discussion anyway. 312-981-7200. Do you know your husband or wife's code or boyfriend, girlfriend? Anyways, the stats say 40% of people know that. About a similar number know their other half's favorite band. I would have no idea. I've only been married about a year, though, so I guess I still got a little time left. I don't know. Not a big music person either. I don't know. That seems a little... that will come up in conversation. But less than a third of us would actually be able to describe what your partner does for a living. 312-981-7200. Do you fall in the third that don't know, or do you fall in the two-thirds, or excuse me, the third that know, or the two-thirds that don't? By the way, 815 says, I'm with Kim. I've been married 28 years. I know his social security number, all of his PINs and his passwords for his email. Do you know his email password?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, are you kidding me?
No.
His work email or just his personal
all
one?
All of it.
Do you do some of his work for you? Is that how you know exactly what he does?
No, sometimes he'll say, like, look at this or log on for me. Sometimes I love my husband to death, but he's not the most technical, so sometimes I have to help him with computer-related things, so I just know all that stuff.
That is really surprising. The PIN access I got.
We're an open book, John.
Yeah, apparently.
The two of us are.
An open ebook.
Yeah, exactly.
You know his Kindle password, too?
He doesn't have a Kindle.
But could you describe what he does day in, day out?
Yes.
Okay, so you fall on that one third.
I think I can. Right. I mean, only so far.
Mm-hmm. And all of our jobs, I think, are pretty self-explanatory, pretty basic. Microphone goes on, we go blah, blah, blah. But there's, you know, a lot of jobs. Like Enrique was a marketing consultant for a long time, and he'd travel all over the country. And I could not tell you a single thing that he did. And it's not because I didn't ask. It's because the lingo is so different.
Oh, right. Like I could tell you my husband does real estate.
Mm-hmm.
But commercial real estate, and then I can't go much farther than
that. Okay, so yeah. Like you get to a certain spot.
Right.
And then you just go into his work email and you figure it out. So actually, why don't you go ahead and do that right now, kid? Go plug on in and let us know his first three emails. 312-981-7200. Let's go to the phone lines. Ray, you're on WGN.
Yeah, I follow into the third that actually knows her job because I used to do her job.
Wait, that specific job or you worked at the same place?
That specific job.
Did you just hand it off to? Did you hand it off to her? What happened?
She was hired about a year and a half after I had left, and then I met her online through a dating app and came to find out she worked where I used to work. So
hold on,
same exact job I used to do.
So you did not know her at the time. So she got your job independent of you even knowing each other, and then you met on the internet or through an app, and later discovered this.
Yep.
And you're married?
We're engaged, yeah.
Hey, congratulations. So you could describe it. Now, what about access to the phone? Do you know the PIN?
Well, we are both part of the same family group on Google, so we can use our fingerprints to log into each other's phones.
All right. And again, if you don't have trust issues, no big deal. All right, Ray, that's pretty amazing. Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. 312-981-7200. That's crazy, getting the exact same job before you even meet. 773 says, I've been married 33 years. I know all his stuff, and he knows mine. It's different than people dating. Yeah, that makes sense. And there's certain scenarios, like Kim mentioned, the driving in the car. I don't have his social security memorized, but he doesn't either, so I think I get a pass on that. But yeah, as you grow, there's going to be circumstances where you may need to know that. Doctor's appointments. I think when you have kids, too, a lot of that information probably gets shared a little bit more through the family, just so everyone's a little bit more accountable. I don't know. 630 says, I know all that stuff. Who cares? And my husband knows. I really wanted to marry Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees. Okay. So knowing a little bit of personal information as well. The article goes on to say, and this is from CNBC.com, they surveyed 2,000 workers, 500 in the tech sector. Nearly three quarters felt forced to dumb down their work when explaining it to their partners, their families, their friends. It's not surprising, of course. Nearly a quarter of people feel frustrated that they don't have this engagement with their spouse in terms of that they don't know what they do. That it actually causes trouble in the relationship, that they don't know what the other person does, which I find interesting, that there's that tension there.
I've been in a relationship where the person hated their job.
Okay.
And that, in some ways, you almost feel bad saying this, but like it... it wears on the other person too.
Horrible.
It's like every day. It's like this job stinks. The job. I'm like, okay. I'm like, what do you want to do about
it? Quit already.
I know. Like, let's go online and find a new gig for you.
That's not only when you know their job. You know every coworker's name. You know every struggle. You know that Betsy.
The boss is the jerk.
The boss
keeps giving her. You know, hassling her.
Betsy ate some of my lunch. Yeah, I dated someone that was the exact same. I think that's one of the main reasons we broke up. I was so sick of hearing it every single day. Just quit. I know you're supposed to be a sounding board for your partner, but when that is the only sound that is coming from them, it's tough to stay in that relationship. I agree. 312-981-7200. What do you know about your partner? 847 says, I'm a social worker and I can never talk about my job. That can suck at times. Yeah. I could see that. Obviously, you have HIPAA rules in the health community. Both of my brothers are firefighters, paramedics. I'm sure that they can't reveal all the details. My sister-in-law, a nurse's practitioner, you know, she can't be spewing all the details about people. That's federal violations. I'm glad that they honor that sort of stuff. But, you know, you do want to have at least a little chance to complain or talk about what you're doing in your day. Oh, that's true. 630 says, I disseminate medical guidelines, trying to explain to my husband and watched his eyes glaze over. Yeah, I mean, that's a specific example where almost quite literally it's a different language than whatever you do. And I think that's really where it gets tough, is if even the verbiage just doesn't make sense and you try and follow along and I don't really know. So I fall in that category, not knowing exactly it is what your partner does. And if you're falling in that category, don't feel so bad. But if you know their PIN access and your social security number, you are in Kim's court as well. 312-981-7200, more on that. And then also, after a break in the news, I want to play a little game I like to call Am I a Jerk, where we lay out a couple scenarios from people who write in. We will be the jury and let you know if you are being a jerk in that scenario or not. 312-981-7200 if you're curious whether or not you are truly a jerk. But a quick commercial break, then the news coming up here on 720 WGN.
Tonight, the Chicago Blackhawks, the Edmonton Oilers, the WGN pregame at 7. I'm John White. If Troy Murray and I will have the puck drop for you at 7:30.
WGN. 720 WGN, John Hansen in for Ro Khan. He is back tomorrow. I'm taking you up for another hour. Then Kevin Powell's going to finish you up, taking you up to Blackhawks pregame. Just to finish kind of the conversation we were having about not knowing what your partner does for a living, just to recap, one third of people know what their partner does for a living. Being like given a description of what they do, not just the title and the company they work for. 708 says, try being a hospice nurse. That is a conversation stopper. Oh, yeah, that's not, you do great work, of course, really important, but not always the best dinner conversation. 309 says, my husband put on a uniform, wore a badge, carried a weapon, could quote Chapter 38 of the Illinois Criminal Code at will. There wasn't much mystery there. All right. And 815 says, I've been married 30 years. She's an accountant. She's always talking about her job. I've got a vague idea of her job detail. I just find it boring. Yeah, okay. He also says that they know each other's email, their social security numbers, and 30 years, you just kind of learn it, which is exactly what Kim Gordon was saying.
How much detail can you get into if you're an accountant? No offense to accountants, but...
You count stuff.
Yeah. You crunch the numbers.
You got Excel. You plug in some things, you hit return.
Got a spreadsheet.
Boom. You're in the red, you're in the black. There we go. You got this much money left. I agree. That would get old and tedious over time. 312-981-7200. Hey, every now and then I like to play a game called Am I the Jerk, where one of you listeners lets us know a scenario in which you maybe have been accused of being a jerk or done the wrong thing. But you might think you're in the right, or maybe you're just a little confused. So we had a couple responses, and I want to read the best one. And Kevin and Lauren and Kim, I want you to kind of be the jury with me to determine truly if this person is a jerk. So here's the one I feel is maybe the most controversial. This comes from a guy who lives in an apartment complex here in Chicago, and he moved into this particular apartment because it's a lot closer to work and it's got a great gym, which is cool. It's built in to his monthly payments. So he's got this great gym. He started working out every day at 6:30, and he noticed it was only women in the gym, and sometimes he'd get dirty looks, and then he wondered what was going on, and he found out that there's women-only hours in the residential gym. And those hours are from 6 to 9 p.m. every single weekday. And he's decided to keep on working out during the women's only hours because he says it's too long. Is he a jerk?
No, because I don't like it when they have men-only hours places. They just need to have hours for everybody. What difference does it make?
Right, like I get guys can be creeps and maybe there's no security on staff, so they want to like give people the comfort of their own gym. But yeah, 6 to 9 every single night?
That's like prime workout territory.
That's prime time.
You get home from work, you undress, you get your gym clothes on, you head to the gym.
Right.
That's like some golf courses have, you know, guys only times. That's infuriating.
Wait, really?
Yes. Some country clubs.
Well, golf's a whole other story. There's
they've lagged far behind.
That's infuriating.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Is it the Masters, Kevin, that was still men only? Is it still men only?
No, they have
not
a few
anymore.
Women.
Okay.
Condoleezza Rice, I think, and a couple other women belong there.
Yeah. There are still golf courses in 2020 with men's only hours.
Yeah. And men's only courses still.
Butler's men's only, and Butler's... regarded as one of the best courses in Illinois, probably could host some PGA Tour events, but they refuse to budge on them.
I don't get it. Explain to me why that is a case. What is just so the guys can be the guys on the course, smoke their cigars and drink their beer? What is the deal?
I guess so. Private club, their rules.
They're afraid the women are going to beat them. That's what they're really afraid
of. Yeah, right? That is crazy to me. Okay, well, you learn something new every day. Lauren, did you say this guy's not a jerk? What do you think?
I don't think he's a jerk. I mean, I would say he is if he really didn't have any other time to work out, but that is a lot of time being reserved just for the women there. Because I personally, I'm either not going to work out or it has to work with my schedule.
All right. Well, guess what, Brian? You are not the jerk. We have decided here at WGN Radio. We're going to take a quick commercial break and then an incredible story. This is the anniversary of John Belushi's death, and we're going to have someone on, Bill Wallace, famous in his own right in martial arts world. Actually trained and worked with John Belushi, and he was the person that found John Belushi. It's a tragic story, but he has a kind of a lesson for everyone in that. We'll get to that after we take a look at the weather. Boy, it looks, Kim, like we just got to get through one bad day before we get a couple good ones on the way. John Belushi, Wheaton native, died on this day. I wish I had the date in front of me. I think about 40 years ago now, almost 38 years ago, on this March 5th. A couple months ago here on WGN, I had a chance to talk with Bill Wallace, an American martial artist. He was a Professional Karate Association World Karate Champion, and then he became an actor, starring in a lot of films along a lot of famous people. He had fights with Chuck Norris in the movies and behind the scenes as well, trained with Elvis Presley, and eventually at some point he ended up training with John Belushi. The story has a sad ending, of course, as that Bill was the person that found him. I hope this doesn't feel voyeuristic, but I hope it has a lesson for people out there on the story of John Belushi. And the story starts with how we met John Belushi.
I met him at a party. I was in 1979, Christmas time. A friend of mine had asked me to come out to Los Angeles, so I go out there and visit him. We're out there, and he says, "You want to go to a party tonight?" And I said, "Sure." So we hop in his car, we drive up to a place in Beverly Hills. Out front is parked a 275 GTP Ferrari, long nose, which is probably three-fourths of $1 million even back then.
Wow.
So I'm just looking at it. Out comes this guy. Now, I'm a 60s fan, 60s music, right?
Mm-hmm.
He walks this guy, and he says, "Hi, I'm Mick. How you doing, Mick? How you doing?" And Richard goes, "It's Mick Fleetwood." I went, "Oh, hi, Mick. How you doing?" He says, "You like the car?" And I said, "Beautiful car." He flips me the keys, and he says, "Take it for a ride." I said, no, thank you. You know, that's all I need to do is tear your car.
Yeah, right.
So we go inside, and there's John Belushi playing the drums with his wife. He looks at me, and he stops and gets up and says, "You're that Superfoot guy, aren't you?" And I says, "Yes, sir. How you doing?" He says, "I'm fine." We shake hands and everything. He says, "I heard, you know, you're a wrestler and all that stuff." He wrestled at Wheaton, Illinois.
That's right.
And I went, "Oh," so we talked about that for a while, and we're just sitting there talking. He says, "What are you doing this summer?" I says, "I have no plans." You know, I'm going to...
It's amazing stuff you've fallen into.
Exactly.
Hard work, but yes.
And he says, "Well, I've got to defend my title in June, and then I'm not doing anything." He says, "When do you intend to defend the title?" I says, "June 15th. And he says, "June 16th, there'll be an airline ticket waiting for you at Indianapolis Airport to come up to Chicago. We're rehearsing for a..." Now, understand, Blues Brothers hadn't come out yet.
Yeah.
And he says, we're rehearsing to do a concert series. I said, "Oh, yeah? What?" And he says, "The Blues Brothers." I said, "Oh, really?"
And you have no idea.
Memphis, Tennessee at the
right,
time.
Right.
What the heck's that?
Yeah.
So I said, "Oh, fine." So, you know, I don't think anybody talking, but I leave and go back and fly back to Memphis. I'm teaching at the university, so I'm training, getting ready to go. And June comes along. I go complete, you know, fight, and I win.
Of course.
And a retire undefeated, so that's happy. I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden I get this phone call. Says, congratulations, because it was on live CBS Sports Spectacular. And he congratulated me. The airline's ticket's waiting for you. And I went, okay, because I said, okay. So I flew up there. Uh-huh. And the first night, I said, we're done. I'm out of here. So we go to the Blues Bar in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
It's right across from Second City.
Uh-huh.
It's probably gone now because John and Danny. Anyway. But we went to the Blues Bar. So he goes in the bathroom. Half hour goes by. Hour goes by. Hour and a half goes by. So I walk in the bathroom, and he's gone. I look all around. I say, have you seen John? He says, oh, he left half an hour ago. Fine. So I get a taxi back to the hotel. I'm packing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gone. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
This I don't need.
Yeah.
He wonders, where are you going? I says, I'm out of here. I don't need this, big guy. You know, I says, you're a nice guy, wonderful, I like you. But, you know, I don't need this. He says, well, I just, you know, I said, no, it's okay. You know, we found out about each other right now. Okay, it'll never happen again. And it never did.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, I'll try it. And we worked out for, went on tour probably the 20th of June, something mm-hmm. like that. Started, had the first concert in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went to Maryland, all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in Denver, Colorado. And I'm standing on the side just watching him. And this guy jumps on stage, starts running at John. So I jump and says, you have to get off of here.
Yeah.
And I'm not supposed to do that, but I just, you can't be up here. And he took a swing. So I blocked and threw him with an ogoshi, because it comes instinctively.
Yeah.
And he lands on his back. And all of a sudden, everybody in the front goes, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, and John goes,
thumbs up.
Yeah. And I went, was it okay? You know? But he said, and that's all he could talk about the rest of the tour.
Yeah.
But,
good stories, yeah.
Yeah. And then we finished in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And I had a girlfriend out there, so I just stayed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he calls me up in September, ended the 1st of August,
mm-hmm.
calls me up in September, we're going to do a movie called Neighbors. No, excuse me, Continental Divide. Continental Divide. We're going to go to Colorado and do the shoot. Well, I want you to go with me, keep me in shape. So I worked with him on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Then he called me to do Neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And we did Neighbors. Then he called me and says, okay, we're working on a new film called Noble Rot. We're going to go out to California, work on the script,
mm-hmm.
and work on this. So I go out to California with him. He's working on a script at night. We work out during the day, go to meetings during the day for the producers and the directors and so forth. And he's getting upset because he and a guy named Don DeVello, you know Don DeVello?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Father Sarducci.
Yeah.
Okay, they're working on a script. But the producers aren't laughing. Now, you got to understand, if you watch John Belushi walk across the street, you just start laughing.
Yeah.
Infectious. Yeah, exactly. And, but they didn't think the script was funny. So they're rewriting a script, finally getting upset. And what happens is, and I hate to say this,
mm-hmm.
but if you're in meetings all day long and you're working on a script all night, how do you stay awake?
Yeah. I think a lot of people know what John was doing, too.
Yeah, but, you know, and then as great as he was, absolutely stupid at hiding stuff.
Yeah.
He couldn't hide a bank vault. I mean, a guy named Smokey Wendell, who was his chief security,
mm-hmm.
we'd be there, John would be out of his wagon, go in and do the film, we go in there and says, here's some, and we throw it away, flush it down the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd go,
mm-hmm.
But there was always people that were willing to give it to him.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, obviously, what happened. Yeah. It's got to be tough when you're close to someone like that, too.
Yeah, well, you know, since we're in Chicago, that, March 5th, 1982, I just got back from Memphis, Tennessee, and went to Bernie Brillstein's office, picked up the keys, picked up a typewriter, taken it to John. They had to finish something up. Walked in the office, walked into his bungalow. He's laying in a bed. And John, if you know John, he had a nasal problem because of the...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I couldn't hear anything. And I went, no. So I walk in and shook him. He rolled over in his
mm-hmm.
marks. So I called Bernie Brillstein. Joel, who worked for Bernie Brosnahan. Mm-hmm. They're both gone now. And so they called the police, and the police come over.
Yeah.
Stupid people. Stupid people.
I appreciate you sharing that. I know that's tough to talk through, Bill.
Well, it if it helps somebody.
Yeah, and that's
because,
the thing.
Because John is one of these guys that he knew it. He knew he was doing this stuff, but it's like he didn't care. And if you understand, sometimes he would get very clean. When we did Continental Divide, mm-hmm. he lost 43 pounds in 2 months.
Wow.
I got it because he had to do some scenes
do
in
it.
Chicago,
yeah.
running up some stairs at the county office, right. I think it was. So he says, I want to be in shape.
Yeah.
So I said, fine. So we lost 42 pounds. He went from 242 to 199.
Wow. Dedicated to it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I made him be dedicated. Yeah. I cooked for him.
Right.
And everything was fine.
Everything.
And then I went back to L.A., and he go back to New York, and all goes back on.
Yeah, it was an incredible interview with Bill there. Again, he was a Superfoot, you might know him as, but again, was in a bunch of movies. It was just kind of eerie to hear about finding John Belushi, but the lesson there, of course, that you know, a lot of people were feeding him things that he just couldn't control that. It was kind of hard to hear again, and it was hard for Bill to tell that story, but I appreciated him opening up about it. Of course, John Belushi, born in the Humble Park neighborhood, lived in Wheaton for a lot of his life, died 38 years ago today. Of course, 1941, Blues Brothers, you know the films he was in. Of course, a local guy that made us laugh. We'll continue with the fun. We're going to have news and ruse after the news coming up. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Are there suddenly great spring break travel bargains? And the best way to fly germ-free? Travel expert Peter Greenberg at 7:48 with me, Bob Surratt, in the morning.
Bob Surratt, Radio Chicago, WGN.
I recently found out that I'm losing my hair, which doesn't mean that I just started losing my hair, by the way. It means it's been happening in the back of my head where everyone but me can see it. And that sucks to find out last, you know? My bald spot's been in my blind spot this whole time. Like, that's something. And I found it the worst way possible. I walked in on a room full of my friends as they were making fun of someone for losing their hair, and by how quiet it got when I walked in, figured out pretty quickly it was me they were talking about, you know? So the only thing I could do, I went to the bathroom, I shut the door, I walked up to the mirror, and I started going like this really fast, like I was gonna catch the mirror not doing its job or something, you know? Like I've got that kind of speed, you know? And I don't have that kind of speed. So I had to do to see how bad it was. I actually had to take a picture of the top of my head. And the only way to describe what I saw is, you know when you're watching a cell phone commercial and they show you the picture of the coverage map? But like of their competitor, the really bad one, you guys know what I'm talking about? That one's me. Like I'm really good along the coasts, no problems whatsoever. Major cities are fine, you know? But as soon as you get south of the Mason-Dixon line, there's zero coverage remaining, right? And that sucks. I've been walking around for years thinking I was still Verizon. And it turns out I'm barely T-Mobile.
Oh, that's great. Jim Flanagan in the house to play a little news or ruse. Jim, how you doing? Oh, I got to turn on your mic. That's important. Go ahead.
I'm good. They always pick the meanest jokes to play when I'm here. You know, the ones that remind me of my hair loss. But I'm good. I'm happy to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Straight on. You look great.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that's why
you
stand this way.
You got a show tonight at Zany's. You're going to be bolting out of here, heading out to Rosemont.
You got it. I'm looking forward to it. It's been really fun. We had one last night, one tonight, two tomorrow, and two Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm recording an album this weekend. We've sold out the early show each night, and there are limited tickets for Friday and Saturday late shows. So scoop them up while you can. It's going to be a blast.
What's that pressure like when you know that you're recording something for a live show?
So this is my first one, so
okay.
Unfortunately I'm not sure. I feel like I think
that's
I know
a good thing though. Yeah,
yeah, but I mean it's gonna be a blast no matter what. I mean, I've been working on it for a long time, and but you know, tonight and yesterday are kind of dress rehearsals to run through it all and make sure everything's ready, and then it should be a lot of fun this weekend. It's gonna be packed houses, and the energy should be great, so it's gonna be really fun. I'm excited.
Do you only get one shot at that? I always wondered that with like Netflix things, whether they tape a couple of them and try for the best reactions. You got one shot and that's it?
Yeah, so we're going to actually record both shows each night, but you're probably going to take like the best show and use all of it, or at least the lion's share of it. You
right.
might do a joke a little bit differently here and there, but you want different opportunities. And plus, we're doing audio and video for different things, so you want to be able to do different
like tracks a little bit differently for satellite radio, for example, mm-hmm. versus being on like a full on album. You can't have callbacks like on a short clip on satellite radio. You can't have callbacks to something that isn't on the same track. Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of different strategies involved that I did not know about and could not care less about. All I want to do is tell jokes, but you've got to do this. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Also hosting a podcast, What Do We Know with Hari and Jim.
You got it. You nailed it. Hari and Jim. Hari Rao is another, he's a very funny comic here in Chicago. And we're idiots. And we have someone come on and teach us about something we don't know every week. So we've done some cool stuff. We've done float tanks. We went to a CBD shop recently and learned about all that.
No idea what that stuff is.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, we just have people teach us stuff that we don't know. And it's a great way to learn about different things. It started, Hari was like, you want to do a podcast? I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, we can probably get free stuff. I'm like, all right, if we get a guest who teaches about stuff, we can
Work that system.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I read I think it was the Tribune did a write-up of you as a clean comedian. You
know,
like that or you don't like that?
It's weird because I am clean when necessary. I do a lot of corporate gigs and I'll do clean shows. At a club, I'm going to spice it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to be I'm not going to be squeaky clean. So
don't bring the kids.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm not raunchy mm-hmm. by any stretch of the imagination.
You're in that middle sweet spot.
You kind of want to be there.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You don't want it to be, you want it to add a little emphasis to your jokes. You don't want it to be the overwhelming portion of the bit.
You
want to
play a little news or ruse?
I'm in. Let's
312-981-7200. Call right now. We got a great prize for you. $75 certificate from Green Tea Home Services. Great prize for you. 312-981-7200 to play news or ruse. Really quickly before we head to break, remind people because you just got a few tickets left for a couple of the shows this weekend, right?
You got it. So Friday, Saturday, I think both late shows are going to sell out soon. So rosemont.zanies.com if you want to be there for the live taping. It's going to be fun. And even if it's not, it's still pretty cool to see that. Train wrecks are also fun. So no matter what, you're guaranteed a good time.
Watch your dreams crash and burn live exactly. on TV. This guy's been waiting to record an album. It's going to go terribly. Come like, to the front row.
You'd be like, I saw him cry in person.
312-981-7200 for news and ruse. But first, let's get a look at how the weather's going to be for people heading out to Rosemont this weekend. Kim Gordon, not too bad, huh?
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
Well, we got it halfway right. John Hansen here for Rokan for a little bit longer. Kevin Powell will take you up to Blackhawks, and we're playing News or Ruse. Let's meet our contestants today. First, Matt, you're going to be playing with Lauren Lapka. Matt, how are you doing here today on WGN News or Ruse?
I am doing really well. I'm super excited to get through. This is cool.
And you're teamed up with Lauren, so that feels good. Lauren, you got a good vibe for Matt?
Sure do.
All right. Miles, you're playing with Kevin. Miles, how you doing?
Awesome. Good.
You feel good that you're with Kevin or what?
I am. We're going to do it.
Kevin, you feel good?
Let's get it done.
Yeah, let's get it done. And guess what? Jimmy, you're playing with Jim.
Outstanding.
Yeah. All right.
That team name Synergy, I think is going to work out really well for Jimmy and Jim Flanagan here.
It's like talking to my my cool counterpart. You know, I'm the business version. Jimmy's the cool guy.
And I'm a fellow Irishman myself, Jim. We should be a lock.
Yes. I love it.
Shockers, Jim or Irishman. All right, $75 gift certificate from Green Tea Home Services is your prize for all your home service needs, including garage door maintenance, air duct purification system, or carpet cleaning service. Call 805-GREEN-TEA or go to greenteaservices.com. We all ready to play? All right. That loud chorus of nothing was great. All right, first question goes to Matt and Lauren. All right. So here is your headline, real or fake, news or ruse. Man tied up with garbage bags after exposing himself in a Taco Bell rampage. Man tied up with garbage bags after exposing himself in Taco Bell rampage. Matt and Lauren, talk it out.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's completely believable in some cases, especially where I live here in Wisconsin.
I agree. So, news?
Well, let's find out.
Well, let's go.
That is right. They got it right. That's 1 point for Team Lauren and Matt. All right, Miles and Kevin, here we go. Cops take seized SUV for joyride. Owner tracks car, locks them inside for 3 hours. Don't Google on that keyboard. I heard that keyboard click in there.
No, it's my pen clicking on the desk here as I think out loud.
I'll read it one more time. Cops take seized SUV.
That could happen in Florida. I think that's
Does it say Florida? Yeah, Florida is a...
The dateline? I can't give you that, unfortunately. Normally, cops take seized SUV.
I'm going to go ruse. We're going to go ruse here. Miles, you in on that? Okay.
You're going to go ruse? All right, let's find out. No, that's real. Three policemen had a harrowing time on Wednesday taking a ride in a seized sports utility vehicle to a district that the owner used for GPS to track down the car. It got locked. They got inside for 3 hours. That was real. All right, Jimmy and Jim, you all ready for yours?
Let's do this.
All right.
Yes.
Faulty floor mat to blame after grandmother of 20 leads Naples police on slow speed golf cart chase. Faulty floor mat to blame after grandmother of 20 leads the police on a slow speed golf cart chase. What are we thinking?
I'm smiling so wide right now, I can't believe it. To me, I would hope it's a ruse. What do you think, Jim?
I think every part of that story can be legitimate. The moment you said Naples,
yeah,
every
right,
part of it made
it
sense. But it's your call, Jimmy. What do you think?
Myers, I'd say definitely, yeah. But okay.
What are you going with, Jim? News or ruse?
I'm going to go with my partner, Jim.
And that is
news.
That would be news.
That's ruse.
Trust your gut, Jimmy. Trust
instincts
your gut.
Were good, but Naples was the key.
Right.
So after round one, Lauren and Matt have got a point. Kevin and Miles don't, and neither do Jim and Jimmy. All right, all ready for round number two. All right, Matt and Lauren, you guys ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right, here it comes. Canadian convict held in contempt for repeatedly apologizing to arson victim. Those Canadians are nice.
Canadians are super
that's
friendly.
True.
Matt, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking that's probably news. They are super friendly.
I like it. Let's go news.
Sounds good.
It's a ruse. They're stuck at 1 point. All right, here we go for Miles and Kevin. They need a point here to tie Lauren and Matt. All right, here's your headline. Australia, or fake news, Australian paper prints blank pages to help tackle toilet paper shortage. Are they printing blank pages to help with the toilet paper shortage?
They did have a toilet paper delivery truck, like, crash and...
Right. Burn.
Burn all the toilet paper.
Miles, I don't know. They don't get newspapers in the Outback, though.
I don't know. Miles, Kevin, what do we think?
Let's go ruse, Miles.
All right. Sounds good.
Sounds bad. That is real. An Australian newspaper has printed an extra 8 pages to be used as TP after coronavirus fears prompted customers to buy bulk supplies. They must have seen that truck. That is not correct. You guys
I feel
are
like
still
that's bad for the pipes.
I feel that's bad for your pipes. let alone what's happening to the system. All right, Jim and Jimmy, you ready?
Let's do this.
Let's tie it on up. Yep. All right. Real or news or ruse? William Shatner gets horse semen in divorce settlement.
Ooh.
Gotta be true with the Shatner. Come on.
Who could write that as a fake headline?
That'd be pretty big. Are you guys going to go with real news?
I think so. I'm with you, Jimmy.
News.
All right, let's find out. You are right! William Shatner
Bam.
Awarded horse breeding equipment and even some semen in his divorce settlements with his ex-wife. She got the estate. He got the semen. And you guys got a point and even the score. All right.
Awesome.
I've left.
Good job, Jim.
Yeah, Jim, nice work. I've left him speechless for a moment.
I mean, I don't know what I can say on the air about that subject, so I'm just going to
exactly.
Let it go.
Exactly. All right, so it's 1-0-1. Lauren and Matt with a point, and Jim and Jimmy. And, of course, the next round read by our great friend, Orion Samuelson. Let's go with question number one, or headline, or ruse number one for Matt and Lauren.
Florida pizza delivery driver arrested for selling special ranch dressing and meth.
Matt and Lauren, what are we thinking?
Well, again, they like to try and trick us with Florida headlines, and they tend to be ruse, but now it's happened so much it might be the other way around. So I don't know. What do you think, Matt?
Again, I live in Kenosha, Wisconsin, so it's a very good possibility.
Okay. So what are you going with?
So I would say I'm going to leave it to Lauren, but my vote is for news.
Okay. Well, I got to go with you, Matt. Let's go news.
Oh, your instincts were right, Lauren. Man, you're faked out in your head, Lauren. I got that,
I
though. It makes sense.
This is why I was never a good test taker. I always do this to myself.
Right. All right, Kevin and Miles got a chance to tie it up. Let's hear from Orion.
Florida man climbs on playground equipment to tell children where babies come from.
Oh, boy.
I like Orion's pause there. That was good. Miles and Kevin, what do we think of news or ruse?
Miles, I'm cold tonight. This one's all you.
Yeah, you know, I can't see a Florida man climbing on a jungle gym, but you never know with Florida, so let's go news.
It is news! According to the Tampa Bay Times, Florida man climbing on a piece of equipment at Clearwater Beach yelled at a bunch of children in the area. All right. And, man, guess what? Jim and Jimmy, you can win. with this all one. Right. All right. Everyone's got a point, but you guys can take it away here. Let's hear from Orion.
Florida dentist who started the Dentists of America Actors Guild to be honored at statue unveiling.
Florida dentist who started the Dentists of America Actors Guild to be honored at statue unveiling. What do you think?
I think it's just creepy enough that it would be news.
Yeah, first of all, I don't think... These are just too weird to be made up sometimes. I'm with you. I think it's news.
All right. We are tied 1-1. Yeah, well, guess what? We are a little... It's 1-1. And you guys, that's a pretty poor performance, right?
It's terrible.
Right. Out of three rounds, all three teams only getting one right. So instead of declaring all of you guys losers, I'm going to say y'all win instead, all right? So congratulations.
Thank you, John.
So not only do we have the Green Tea Home Services for all your home service needs and garage door maintenance, we also got a pair of tickets to The Secret of My Success, a world premiere musical based on the Universal Pictures film following an ambitious Midwesterner trying to make it in the big city, now playing at the Paramount Theater in Aurora through March 29th. Get tickets at ParamountAurora.com. Matt, Miles, Jimmy, stay on the line, of course. Jim, one more time, the shows.
One tonight, two tomorrow, two Saturday. Rosemont.zanies.com for tickets. They are selling quickly, so get your tickets now if you want to be there for the taping.
Thanks so much for playing News or Ruse, man.
Thanks for having me.
You're great. You're hilarious, and I don't mind the bald spot at all. I think it looks good on you.
Buddy.
That's it for me, John Hanson. Kevin Powell is going to take you up to Blackhawks pregame. You can come see me at Section 312 tonight, tomorrow on CW26 from 6 to 8 in the morning, or tomorrow I'm in the noon business lunch on WGN for Jisuke. Coming up after the news.
Tonight, the Chicago Blackhawks, the Edmonton Oilers, the WGN pregame at 7. I'm John White of Troy Murray, and I will have the puck drop for you at 7:30. WGN
7:20 WGN. Bit of a musical chairs situation here tonight. I'm in for John Hanson, moving from the sports studio to the main studio. John was in for Rokan, who you normally hear at this time slot. Ro on a very secret special mission today. He will be back tomorrow. We'll have White Sox baseball on it too. Cubs and Sox, that should be a fun one. Andy Mazur will be on the call with Darren Jackson, and some big White Sox news today with Yoan Moncada, as you heard me reporting in sports as well. So anytime you hear Cubs and Sox, that's always fun. So we'll have just a few minutes. It'll be Kim with a final weather report. Lauren will have a traffic report. I'll have a final sports as well. And I do want to say that I don't know if Chicagoans, if we're just so worried we're going to jinx the weather forecast, but we always talk about bad weather, right? Last year, the polar vortex, where faces were falling off from the wind chill. It was devastating. We have had like the easiest winter in quite some time. I can't remember a winter like this where our worst snow day, I believe, so far has been Halloween. And other than that, some light dustings here and there. So I think we should thank the Mother Nature for a fairly easy winter. And again, I don't know if we don't ever praise it or talk about how lucky we are when we do have a good winter or a good summer or whatever it may be, because we're worried that we're going to jinx it. But
well, you just know something awful will come.
I know. And just 2 years ago, I remember being at Wrigley and the opening day got snowed out. So that was early April. So
well, that can still happen.
I know. So who am I blabbing about how great the weather is?
But don't you think it's a badge of honor for Chicagoans to talk about how we endured this horrible weather?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think I was out of town just after the polar vortex last year, and I was like, so anyways, it was like negative 50 in Chicago, and people were freezing their faces off. I don't know. I guess we just brag about it that we can endure such horrible weather.
Makes us tough.
It makes us tough. That's right. And then we all enjoy. I saw a funny meme on social media where it was like, Chicagoans look at the weather forecast and show up to bars when it's 50 degrees. So is your patio open? Is there outdoor seating? Because I think we're also ready to get, because every bar in Chicago, I shouldn't say every bar, but a majority of the bars have patio seating, because if you're a Chicago and it's a summertime and you're going out with some friends, you want to be sitting outside, right? Most nights, unless it's a bad, humid night. But if it's a nice evening in Chicago, you want to take advantage of every second. I know, like in the summer, I'm on the back patio like every single night, because why would I trap myself inside when I do that all winter long?
Yeah, so, got to take advantage of it.
Got to take advantage of it. So last night, on the social media, I don't know if we're ever going to learn as a civilization how to sort through news and fake news and rumors and real rumors and whatnot and whatnot and whatnot. But there was a rumor last night that the Bears front office was meeting with Eli Manning, longtime Giants quarterback. So we're going to talk about that. We'll get the details because our Bears insider, Adam Hoge, who is one of the best, and there's not only there's a bias here, you can't really argue Adam Hoge
through his podcast, through his blog, his on-air work. He's one of the best Bears reporters in Chicago. And we've got a whole bunch of great ones here in a town that is passionate. I could talk Bears 365 days a year. But I'm sure if you were on social media in any capacity last night, you saw, I'm sure, Eli Manning to the Bears. And we haven't had a chance to touch on this. But we'll sort through the details. We'll get to the bottom of it. Adam Hogue will join us just in a few minutes here on WGN. Kevin Powell, sort of, kind of in for Rokan, not really. I just moved from the sports studio to the main studio here on the 18th floor here above Wacker Drive. John Hansen was in for Ro. John Hansen has in-game entertainment at the United Center, so he had to bolt it at 6:30 to get to the UC. We'll have Blackhawks hockey at 7. Chris Bowden standing by from the United Center. So some musical chairs. We've got a few more minutes. Let's have some fun. Came with a final weather report. For the most part, looking good. A little bit of precip in the near future, but then after that, I think we're in the clear, huh, Kim? 720 WGN, Kevin Powell with you. This is the Ro Con Show for the next 13 minutes or so. Ro was off today. He's on a very secret mission. He'll be back tomorrow. Don't worry. John Hansen was in for Roe, but he had to book it at 6:30 to get to the United Center. If you're going, you're still on your way to the UC. One big game tonight. Hawks going for four straight victories. They're 6 points out of the wild card. Not many games remaining. 16 games left, so they got a lot of work to do, but they're still in the hunt. So there's still some interest there. Anyway, John Hansen does in-game entertainment. He's the guy who does like the fun interviews with fans. Just kind of moves things along on that giant video board that they have over at the United Center. I do want to talk a little Bears. I can always talk Bears. And last night there was some, again, as I mentioned, I don't know if we're ever, as a society, going to figure out how to sort through what is real and what is not real. This is to a much smaller extent. We're not talking politics or major news here. But there was all of a sudden this random rumor that, and there has been talks, of course, this offseason about the Bears trying to bring in some competition or somebody to push Mitch, probably a veteran-type quarterback looking for a new team. There was a report that Eli Manning was meeting with the Bears front office at Oriole, which is a restaurant. It's one of these fancy prefix 12-course meals where it's a couple hundred bucks a person. I think it's off Fulton in the highway, kind of by Carnival over there. So it seemed like, hey, if you're going to have some people who have some cheddar with them, go out for a fancy dinner. That seemed kind of legit, but then we got reports that no, that's not the case. Adam Hogue is our Bears insider here at WGN Radio. Adam, can you clarify exactly what that was all about last night? Classic technical difficulty. Adam is not there. As I bring up the pot, he is not there. So,
had to make it easy for you, didn't we?
You did. That's okay. We'll make it through together. We've only got 8 minutes left until Blackhawks hockey. Oh, God. We'll be all right. So anyway, I just think it's funny how it's so easy for stories to snowball.
Even, oh, yeah. The more outrageous, the faster they go.
Too. I know. And it's like we've been doing this for a while now. I think I've had, you know, Twitter's been around for what? 8 years, probably longer.
Way 10 longer,
years,
yeah.
10 years, but I think for me, or at least for everybody, it really has been a general consumption, generally consumed social media for the last 7-8 years, and probably even more than that. But this somebody tweeted out that the Bears front office was meeting with Eli Manning at Oriole Restaurant. If you throw in some very specific details, like which restaurant, I think people are willing to cling on to it a little bit more instead of somebody just saying, oh, I saw Ryan Pace with Eli Manning.
And throw in a reportedly. So-and-so is reportedly meeting,
if you
blah,
put
blah,
that
blah.
In there, people I think are generally more. And then even some people with some blue check marks were riding with it. And I'm like, okay, this Uh-oh. Is when it really starts to snowball. But then some Bears reporters, Adam Johns, who's with The Athletic, who does the Hogue and Johns podcast with Adam Hogue, who we're still trying to get a hold of. We got a few more minutes here on the Ro Con Show. He debunked it, I think, even last night, if not early this morning. Even Paul Sullivan from the Chicago Tribune was like, nah, that never happened. So a couple of things. One, I'm just stunned how we continue to be fooled by social media posts. And Twitter, to me, I how would I describe my feelings toward Twitter? I'm on it all the time. I'll admit to it. I rely on social media just as much as everybody else does. I get it. I mean, it's in your face. We're all addicted to staring at our phones. But I think I do a pretty good job at not being fooled by fake accounts or running with breaking news reports. Even today, there was the Yoan Moncada breaking news with the White Sox. And I was like, I immediately responded to it because it was from a verified account. But then right after, I'm like, okay, let me triple check that, because that's normally not me. I'm not the guy who wants to react to a story right away. But fortunately, it wasn't fake news. But Adam Hogue is joining us now. He is on the phone. He is our WGN Bears insider. Adam, are you free tonight to go to Oriole and try out the 12-course prefix meal for $215 a person?
Let me tell you this. I when the Bears are actually taking potential players out for dinner, they don't take them to places or sit in the rooms where they can potentially be spotted and it ends up on Twitter. That's just not how it works.
And they're normally up by Hallis Hall, right? Like Lake Bluff situation, maybe Vernon Hills?
Yeah, I don't... I mean, that's not to say they've never taken anybody downtown before, but... Look, when this came across last night, it was one of those deals where, I don't know, I draw the line at dogs on Twitter reporting news that I don't really need to take too seriously, because that's what it was. It's like a dog account.
Yeah, it's a PFT. He's a Barstool Sports guy. He's got this like kind of mock Twitter account that he posts. His dog's name's Leroy. I don't know. He like posts random stuff, I think, to fool people. And then a Bears fan saw it. Bears fan tweeted about it. And then a local Chicago reporter saw it and didn't even verify it. He was just like, holy cow, Bears are meeting with Eli Manning. What's happening? And then when you see somebody with a blue check mark, everybody goes wild and it snowballed. Okay, we've squashed the Eli Bears, whatever that may have been. Doesn't sound like it. That definitely did not happen. But the Bears certainly are in the market for somebody to push Mitch, correct? And what are some of the names on your list, Adam Hogue, as our WGN Bears insider, that Bears should be looking at?
Well, the one thing that I've kind of come to a conclusion that, any of these veteran quarterback options that are out there that are realistic for the Bears, like the Bears aren't going to go out and sign Tom Brady right now, so you can cross that out. But, you know, if we're talking about anybody from like Andy Dalton, if he's released, you're not trading for Andy Dalton. Let me make that clear. It's $17 million. They need to release him, and that's ultimately what the Bengals are probably going to do. If that happens, I could see that being realistic. Marcus Mariota, I do think there's a legitimate issue in the fact that he has the same agents as Mitchell Trubisky. And from what I've heard, that's going to complicate any type of situation where he comes to the Bears. But any of these names I'm talking about, especially like a Case Keenum, who could potentially be a backup, none of these guys are better than Mitch Trubisky. Like, I think we're getting a little out of hand with the Trubisky crew. Yes, he has not lived up to the number two overall pick. Yes, he hasn't been the franchise guy that they wanted him to be to this point. He's still a decent to relatively good quarterback in the NFL. And he's better than all of these other options that are, most of them are going to cost more money and they're older. So will they bring in a veteran? Potentially. But I'd also look to the draft. And I also wonder if some of these veterans are going to wait until after the draft to actually sign to see where they can pick their places where they have the best opportunity to win a starting job.
Talking with Adam Hogue, our WGN Bears insider. I'm Kevin Powell with you for the next few minutes before we hand it off to Blackhawks Hockey. Look, my attitude towards how the Bears should approach Mitch Trubisky's situation, I agree with everything you just said. And as crazy as it sounds, you might as well go all in on Mitch, where I haven't completely thrown in the flag. The flag is in my right hand. That's my throwing hand, Adam. But I haven't completely thrown it in. Everything they gave up for him, I still believe there is the talent that Mitch Trubisky possesses to be an above-average quarterback, and this team could be a playoff contender. This isn't crazy blind optimism I have on Mitch Trubisky, but as you said, you're not just going to... There's a reason these guys are potentially on the market, because teams are ready to move on from them in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes we just get enamored with the next guy. Yep. You know, and
backup quarterback, and, right? Always the most popular player on the team for fans.
But you bring up a good point, too. Like I don't think we're at the point where you should be giving up on Mitch. Like, is it looking bleak that he's ever going to be, a perennial Pro Bowler? Yes. But, he did actually make a Pro Bowl just a year ago, even though it was, a little bit of a stretch, considering he was, like, the third or fourth alternate or whatever it was. Yeah. But the point is, like, this guy still can get better. And I also think we're losing perspective of what he had this year, which is something when I talk to people around the league, and I talked to a lot of people around the league last week in Indianapolis, and they, a lot of it was some criticism of Mitch, but also criticism of what was around him. And we're talking about a guy that realistically had a bad offensive line, a wide receiver unit that led the league in drops, no tight end, and no running game. How is any quarterback supposed to have success that way, especially a young one that's kind of struggling to see the field and develop? Like, they have to improve around him, whether it's Mitch Trubisky or a different quarterback. The pieces around that quarterback need to be better, and you cannot then spend all the assets you have right now in cap space on another quarterback. Like, it just, the logic isn't there.
He's Adam Hogar, Bears Insider. Read his stuff at WGNRadio.com. His Hogan John's podcast is the best Bears podcast that you will find on the internet. Adam, I'll meet you at Oriole for our 12-course meal later on tonight, okay?
All right. In the meantime, I'm jacked about the Yoan Moncada stuff.
I know.
Great.
I'd go on with it. I got 20 seconds to get the Hawks, but I think a lot of Sox fans, and it makes a ton of sense. So, yeah, you. I know you're a Sox fan, and you do some work here on our broadcast. So, appreciate you jumping on. We'll have plenty of time to talk Sox and more Bears along the way. Thanks, Adam.
All right. Have a good night.
I'm a man. Adam Hogue, one of the best in the biz. All right, thank you. There's a musical chairs here. I was filling in for John Hansen, who was in for Rokan. I'm Kevin Powell. Thanks to Brian Altimer, Jeff Carlin for steering the ship. It is time for Chicago Blackhawks hockey right here on WGN.
Tonight, the Chicago Blackhawks, the Edmonton Oilers, the WGN pregame at 7. I'm John White of Troy Murray, and I will have the puck drop for you at 7:30. WGN.